atravessa fronteiras no amanhecer e ao entardecer olhar com calma. Então, alma vai além de tudo que o nosso mundo.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Terrorists tried to kill the former Prime Minister of Pakistan as she returned to Karachi. Hundreds of thousands of people were celebrating in the streets when two terror bombs exploded. London Sunday Times correspondent Christina Lamb was on the bus with Benazir Bhutto.
Blood on us, which was from other people. It was really, I've been where the suicide bombs have gone off before. And this was a pretty big blast.
Pakistan Information Minister Tariq Azim.
It seems that a suicide bomber could not get very near the truck because the truck itself on which he was riding was surrounded by police vehicles from all around. So he just managed to get behind those police vehicles before he blew himself up.
The latest death toll estimate from police in Karachi has reached 115 and is expected to go higher. The S-CHIP, children's health insurance debate now is how big to make it. President Bush's veto stood today when the House voted, which means the Democrats' proposal to expand the program from 6 million to 10 million covered didn't fly. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi insists it must.
As long as the bottom line is that 10 million children are covered, that is not negotiable.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House, where the failure to override the veto is welcome news. But spokeswoman Dana Perino says President Bush now wants to move forward and find common ground with Democrats on a plan to reauthorize and expand SCHIP. And he says he's willing to increase funding beyond his initial 20% increase, if that's what it takes to cover all of the poorest children.
A missing hiker in West Virginia has been found. 18-year-old Jacob Allen is autistic. Worries for his survival were right off the scale since he disappeared on Sunday in the mountains near Morgantown.
He is alert. He has had something to eat. He's alive.
Chris Stadelman at the Command Center for the Search says the young man is also safely back with his very grateful family. The deaths of two famous people today, comedian Joey Bishop, the last of the famous Rat Pack, remembered by his old friend Ed McMahon.
That was a big league. Frank Sinatra, Sammy Davis Jr., Dean Martin, Peter Lawford, and to hold your own in that crowd, it was pretty good, but Bishop kind of summed up everything with one of those clever, biting one-liners, and he would handle it.
Joey Bishop was 89. Screen legend Deborah Carr has died. The Scottish lady who made some of the biggest hits ever in An Affair to Remember, that's music from it. The King and I, and From Here to Eternity, was nominated 6 times for an Academy Award. And she was given an honorary Oscar just a few years back. Deborah Carr was 86. On Wall Street, the Dow was off 3.5 points today. The Nasdaq was up nearly 7 points, and oil prices were nudging 90. $89.47 a barrel, up $2.07. This is CBS News.
When's the best time to save on service for your Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury? Right now. Hurry to your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership during the Right Now Factory Authorized Service Event. Buy 4 Michelin or BF Goodrich tires and get a $50 gas card on us. That's a $50 gas card on us. And there's more. Bring in any competitor's current price ad on the name brand tires we sell within 30 days of purchase, and we'll beat that price, guaranteed. That's 2 great ways to save on the tires recommended for your vehicle. You'll also find fantastic savings on Motorcraft brakes, batteries, maintenance packages, and more. Plus, our Ford-trained experts use only genuine Ford parts. Right place, right prices, right now. Hurry, the Right Now factory-authorized service event ends soon. Visit your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership right now.
Call 1-877-310-3673 or see participating dealer through 11307.
We still don't know for sure if the FEMA trailers have too much formaldehyde in them.
Months after congressional hearings and FEMA decided they'd better test travel trailers amid fears of high levels of formaldehyde causing health problems, none of the 56,000 occupied trailers have been tested. We asked FEMA why. They referred us to the Centers for Disease Control.
We are going into the field. We're hoping to be the end of October, the beginning of November.
CDC's Charles Green.
Good science takes time. We had to develop the protocol. and then we had to contract contractors to do the job.
He says they should have results by the end of the year. Dave Cohen for CBS News, New Orleans.
It's a first for France. Never before has a sitting president of France divorced his wife. Nicolas Sarkozy and Cecilia abruptly announced their divorce, which is a political bombshell of real proportions in Europe. Their union seemed to be deeply passionate and very political, and the split is a blow to Sarkozy's young presidency. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Online banking, booking travel, shopping your favorite e-tailer. Every day you're using the Internet to live your life. Make sure your web is protected with Trend Micro Internet Security, rated the top security suite by a leading consumer publication. Trend Micro safeguards your computers, networks, and personal identity at home and while you're away. That's why millions of people trust their security to Trend Micro, a global leader in secure content and threat management solutions. Use the web the way it was meant to be. Learn more at trendmicro.com.
Aflac for Small Business, how can I help you?
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an ant.
Okay.
I got a tunneling business, you dig?
How many employees?
Well, it's a family-run business, just me and my, my aunts.
Well, with Aflac for Small Business, you can enjoy a lot of the benefits of a big business.
Great.
Just call 1-800-99-AFLAC.
Did that?
Or go to aflacsb.com. Aflac for Small Business, because small business needs...
Aflac!
Too.
Gotta run. Company picnic.
American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Pete Collins! Yeah, you call me?
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
I'd add health care for kids, an end to torture, constitutional balance in our monitoring program. The list does go on, doesn't it? Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host. We only have 3 hours to talk about what's going on in the world. We're going to do our best.
I saw a face in the shower door.
Bas Shakir will join us in a moment from the Center for American Progress, updating us on the hearings. The coronation, the rubber stamping of Judge Michael Mukasey as the next Attorney General. Coming up in a half an hour, very controversial book called The Israel Lobby. Co-author Professor John Mearsheimer from the University of Chicago will join us. And there's a whole lot in the book. I'm going to focus on AIPAC and PNAC. I think most of our listeners know what those terms mean, but we'll explain coming up. An hour away, Scott Dick joins us for our weekly visit. He's the guy who explains military veterans and Pentagon acronyms to me. We're going to talk about General Sanchez and his late, but late-breaking criticism of the Bush regime and the occupation of Iraq and the invasion that led to it. We'll talk about the way Turkey is maneuvering into northern Iraq. And that we just learned today that Iran and China have offered to build power plants in Iraq, making the American contractors there and people like Halliburton a little bit nervous. Hey, it's our war, it's our occupation, and the Chinese get to build a power plant in Iran? Iran's offering to build one for free and provide power to southern Iraq. I wonder if it's a nuclear plant. That's a curious thought. Lots of other things, including procurement issues, bonuses to retain the troops, and other things that we'll talk with Scott Dick about next hour. Ron Pollock will join us at the top of our third hour to give us an update on the, failed vote to override the president's veto of the S-CHIP bill. This occurred in the House today. Only 13 votes shy. That's 9 votes better than the last round. But not enough to prevail. We'll get Ron's ideas on strategies for going forward to ensure more poor children and middle-income children in America. And that wacky journalist R.J. Shulman will join us in our final hour, too. It's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show, where you can call us at any time to join the conversation. It's toll-free 888-573-8372. Some people find it a little easier to remember as 1-888-5. Peter B. My email is peter@peterbcollins.com. Feel free to use it. because it's free. It doesn't cost me or you. Faz Shakir is the research director at the Center for American Progress and co-editor of their daily Progress Report. I get it in my email. All you got to do is log on to progressreport.org and sign up for it. It's a very good analysis of issues in play in Washington on a daily basis. Faz, how are you doing? Are you keeping up with everything?
I'm trying. There's a lot going on, but yeah, it's a fun time.
Yeah, it sure is. It's been driving me dizzy, and my cable company moved C-SPAN 2 and 3 up into the cable stratosphere, I think, to make room for the new Fox Business Network.
That's very unfortunate.
So I was dialing past cartoons and finally found the Mukasey hearings for a little bit during breakfast this morning. And at that point, they were just about to take a break, and Chairman Leahy was lecturing Mukasey just a little bit, saying that he noticed a shift in tone, that in the first round of hearings yesterday, that's on Wednesday, that Mukasey was showing what Leahy called a pretty bright line in defining his opposition to torture, to expansion of presidential powers, and some of the other issues that really have been brought to light by the failed tenure of Alberto Gonzalez. And Leahy was promising that after the lunch break, he was going to grill Mukasey a little bit more on that. Any sparks fly at that point that you know of?
No, I don't think so. I think that the Senate and Senator Leahy are all set to vote for him. I think that more than anything, they might be changing their rhetoric a little bit just to give themselves a cushion with the left, because they
with people like me.
Exactly, exactly,
oh,
and people like myself as well, who feel like there should be a little bit more anger over this nominee. I can understand if ultimately we're going to confirm him, but you can't vote for him, in my view, because this guy still represents a whole host of policies we don't support. And I think that came out pretty clearly today when he said that he didn't think waterboarding was torture. So in essence, yesterday he said, well, torture is antithetical to American values, the Constitution. He mouthed all the right words. But when it came down to, do you agree with President Bush's harsh interrogation techniques and whether they constitute torture, he seemed to say, yeah, that's all fine with me.
Well, and I'm a little confused. I did two radio shows yesterday, so I didn't have time to watch the hearings, just a summary on the PBS NewsHour. But it did appear that Judge Mukasey took a pretty firm line against, quote-unquote, torture. But at least from the coverage I saw, nobody asked him to define it. And while he took exception to the now infamous Bybee memos and some of John Yoo's legal work in 2002-2003, again, I didn't hear any explicit definition of torture from which we can learn or glean whether he's really against torture or just against this incredibly watered-down definition that is in service in the Bush administration.
That's right. I mean, he did a clever thing yesterday by starting off with the Bybee memo, which has been put aside even by the administration itself. It says that it doesn't follow the Bybee memo, although I think in practical terms it does, because we know that there are secret Justice Department memos circulating somewhere that authorize some kind of harsh interrogation techniques. But so he went off early on in his testimony and said, well, I don't stand for the Bybee memo. I think that was completely wrong. I wouldn't have approved it. Okay, that's great. Now let's dial it into what's going on currently. Do you stand for that? And I think we got into a few of those questions today, particularly with the waterboarding and other harsh interrogation techniques questions, and he seemed to say that while he doesn't know much about what the administration's doing, he's okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
A couple other things I thought were interesting from yesterday. One is he said he would not close down Guantanamo. He would keep it open.
Yeah.
So, again, siding with the Dick Cheney caucus in the administration.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is he said he would not grant Gitmo detainees habeas corpus rights.
Yeah.
So I think on like the fundamental issues that divide us and the administration with respect to the war on terror, he's firmly on the side of President Bush.
And, Faz, did anybody raise issues related to Mr. Mukasey's tenure as a federal judge, particularly in the fall of 2001, when he presided over the detention of over 1,000? Now, I don't know that all the cases came before him, but there was detention in New York alone of more than 1,000 people on immigration charges, and it was used to, you know, kind of get them off the streets and see who might be linked to a terrorist operation. And some of those people were were tortured. Many of them were detained and denied rights to counsel or even to phone their families for months on end. And he was a very hardliner on those issues, really showing no compassion whatsoever for these individuals.
That's right. I mean, and that tells us exactly where he's coming from. That didn't come up a ton yesterday because he kind of softened the record on that. In the few days leading up to the hearings, he said that what had been done was wrong and that they should revisit the law and make sure something like that doesn't happen again. So he's really distanced himself from his own acts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that served to kind of give him a bit of breathing room so that he wouldn't get disparaged as much over that issue.
What about his coziness with Rudy Giuliani?
Yeah, that was one of the, I think, the top three questions Patrick Leahy had yesterday in his opening question period.
Okay.
And he asked him whether he would recuse himself from all issues related to Rudy Giuliani, and Mukasey gave his word that indeed he would.
Okay. And what about his tenure with Giuliani in the Southern District of New York, U.S. Attorney's Office? Because I don't know if you're aware of Peter Lance's work, but he's written blistering criticisms of the role that they played in the prosecution of the 93 World Trade Center bombings, the Blind Sheikh, and some of the other terror plots that were really bungled by the U.S. Attorney's Office through the 90s.
Yeah, no, I don't think that came up at all. I didn't hear that. I think that the only time I heard Giuliani's name mentioned was in the Leahy questioning, and that didn't have anything to do with the issue you're raising.
Yeah. And anything else related to Mukasey that I'm missing?
About the Patriot Act. I thought Russ Feingold, who I think I consider to be the best interrogator on the panel, went after Mukasey a lot on this Patriot Act issue because Mukasey had said that the critics of the Patriot Act were engaging in, you know, hysterics, basically. He wrote a lot condemning critics of the Patriot Act. And so Feingold tried to pin him down on this issue and said, did you actually read what the criticisms of the Patriot Act were for coming from people like myself and others who were worried about provisions that went too far?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, I looked at the Patriot Act. That's all I needed to look at, and I know it was sound. And I think Feingold did a really great job of just really deconstructing Mukasey's attack on people like Senator Feingold, and showing that he was really full of a lot of bluster and partisanship
mm-hmm.
when he was trying to defend the Patriot Act. And I think that's kind of the approach that a lot of us are concerned he's going to take when he's Attorney General, is it's a lot of bluster and willingness to stand up for the conservative line without actually knowing the facts.
Yeah. And, Faz, just one more item. I, as you know, am very upset at the way Leahy disconnected the issues related to Gonzalez overreaching, the U.S. Attorney's case, the Karl Rove missing emails, etc. And I, again, haven't heard of any sharp exchanges with Mukasey over those issues. Did he promise to, fully pursue the issues related to the U.S. attorney firings?
No, he didn't. He didn't promise to pursue the issue. All he did was he promised that he would never condone that kind of behavior. He would limit the number of people in the Justice Department who could correspond with political people in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
You remember this was expanded in the Gonzalez tenure. He said he would bring that back down to the small number that it should be. So he seemed to give a lot of indications that he wasn't going to be a guy who tolerated political activity, both in the prosecutions of the Justice Department and also mm-hmm. in the general conduct of the Justice Department. So that dissipated a lot of it. And I think nobody was really interested in going back and looking into the Gonzalez issue.
Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I am.
There you go. You're the only one there, Peter. I guess everybody else has kind of moved past that one.
You're breaking my heart, Faz. We're going to take a break and return with Faz Shakir. President Bush has nominated a woman who is deeply opposed to family planning and birth control to head the department that promotes birth control and family planning. Yes, another member of the wrecking crew. Nominated by the Bush administration. Of course, it's only an acting position, and only 25% of top officials in Washington are temporarily in their jobs. More in a moment with Faz Shakir. I'm Peter B. Collins.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA. Ha!
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year, and the fact that we can offer estate quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything's so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a fill affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a bottle of galoosh, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. MPG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Hello, this is Jane Fleming with Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery in Monterey. And if you have a new emerging business like I do, consider advertising on KRXA 540 AM. KRXA is one of the best values on the Central Coast in today's competitive marketplace. Beyond Wheat has seen noticeable and consistent growth since our ads began with KRXA. We are muffins ahead in sales every month thanks to sales manager Larry Rathall. Call Larry at 394-KRXA. That's 394-5792. You'll be so glad you did.
KRXA is the radio home of Central Coast Sports. Join us this fall as KRXA 540 brings you the high school football game of the week. Follow the race for the championship of the Monterey Bay, Tri-County, and Mission Trail High School Athletic League. Hi, this is Rob Ponce. Join John Berlin and me each weekend as we bring you the play-by-play of the high school football game of the week.
This Friday night's games at Seaside as Monte Vista entertains the Spartans. 7:10 pregame, 7:30 kickoff.
At Homescapes Carmel, we search far and near to find the best locally made, American-made, and imported furnishings the world has to offer. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I scour the globe to find unique, unusual, and unmatched merchandise to help you personalize your home and garden. We're proud to offer a variety of products such as cabinets, lamps, and vases made with bamboo, plantation teak, and other renewable and reclaimed resources. These items are beautiful, durable, and most of all, eco-friendly. So stop by Homescapes Carmel on the corner of 7th and Dolores, or visit homescapescarmel.com.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Will you abstain with me? After all, if we do, we won't need birth control.
Oh, baby, looking at you. There's something I'd like to do tonight.
Yeah, go ahead and sing along.
And I believe in abstinence only, but I don't want to leave you lonely, so abstain with me, baby.
All night long?
All night long. Come over and refrain with me, baby. I'm gonna wanna jump your bones. I'm gonna have to dump that Jones. So come on now, get stoned in lover's lane with me. Abstain.
Pastor Keir is my guest here from the Center for American Progress, and his co-editor of the Progress Report, Amanda Turkle, broke the story yesterday at thinkprogress.org that the president has appointed Susan Orr as the acting deputy assistant secretary, how does that fit on a business card, for population affairs at the Department of Health and Human Services. And Faz, just tell us how fabulous this temporary appointment is.
Well, this woman comes in the line of Bush administration appointees who don't believe in the actual mission of the position that they're appointed to. Remember, Paul Wolfowitz didn't really believe in the World Bank's mission. John Bolton didn't really believe in the mission of the UN. Now we get Susan Orr, who doesn't believe in her role, which is family planning management in the Department of Health and Human Services. She has her record is one that she's been at the Family Research Council, which is, of course, an organization opposed to family planning. She's also called contraceptives part of the culture of death. She's pushed prior positions for excluding contraceptives from federal health insurance plans. So this is somebody who's worked very hard her entire life to be against contraceptives as part of family planning, and now she's, of course, our nation's family planning czar.
And you cited the ban on health insurance, federal health insurance covering contraceptives, and she said, we're quite pleased because fertility is not a disease.
Right. Apparently a federal health plan should only cover diseases, I guess, in her eyes. And so, health insurance plans, I'm sure most women would agree, it should be covering more than simply diseases because there's a lot more important things that are integral to their health.
Yeah. Faz, a lot of maneuvering in Washington this week over the NSA bills, the respective bills in the Senate and the House. And as the Democrats put forward a bill that would help repair some of the damage that's been done and the shift, away from the Fourth Amendment and toward expanded executive power and the wiretapping and other surveillance that has gone along with that. And as you pointed out last week, the Democrats in the House have been pushing a pretty good bill, but they ran into a roadblock, and it looks like they're going to pull it. One of the deputy Republican whips was trying to obstruct it. Explain how that happened.
Well, Republicans are very clever about the process, and what they did last night was they introduced a motion to recommit, which basically says, okay, we have a bill on the House floor, let's send it back to committee with instructions to change it. And the way that they said they wanted to, quote, change it is to say explicitly that no calls from Al-Qaeda, et cetera, or terrorist groups would be prevented from being spied upon. And so that language they thought would divide the Democratic Party because, of course, there's some who would say, oh, there's Al-Qaeda in it, we got to support it, versus those who are saying, well, hold on, the law here is the law, and if there's Al-Qaeda issues, then they should be applicable within the law.
And did you hear those bizarre comments from Roy Blunt, the minority whip, saying, you know, if Osama's calling Domino's to order a pizza from a cave in Bora Bora, we want to know about it. And it's just like, huh? I mean, come on, Osama doesn't eat pizza. It's just ridiculous. And
yeah, that's the kind of thing. I mean, that's what they were basically trying to do last night. And so it caused the House leadership, the Democratic leadership, to pull the bill from the floor.
And now there's a deal with the Bush administration on the Senate side to immunize the phone companies. And that's one of the big issues that the Democrats were fighting against in the House.
Yeah, but just to be clear on that, that's the Senate Intelligence Committee that struck the deal. That's John Rockefeller's committee. Diane Feinstein, Bill Nelson, a couple other moderate Democrats are on that committee. He's struck a deal. But in fact, today what we heard from a lot of the Senate leadership is that they don't actually support that concept. In the House or the Senate Judiciary Committee hearing today, Patrick Leahy, during the Mukasey hearing, openly criticized the Senate Intelligence Committee, saying that they have been caving to White House pressure and that he wasn't going to go along with this. So that was
well, come on, Pat, you got to stop caving yourself. All right, Faz, I'm out of time.
He would say that openly about the Senate Intelligence Committee.
It is remarkable. Thanks. Running out of time here. Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress. I'm Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by Tree Classics, the world's finest artificial Christmas trees. Visit treeclassics.com. And by Walgreens, the pharmacy America has trusted since 1901. I'm Charles Osgood. When the Supreme Court agrees to take up an issue, it doesn't like to see people in similar situations taking some action that's irreversible, can't be undone, such as executing somebody. That means Christopher Scott Emmett, who was scheduled to be put to death by the state of Virginia at 9 p.m. last night for beating a co-worker at a roofing company to death with a brass lamp to get money for crack cocaine, got a stay of execution and will live at least until springtime. The story after this. This Christmas, decorate your home with the world's finest artificial Christmas trees from TreeClassics.com with more than 76 styles, all backed by their 10-year tree and 5-year light warranty. TreeClassics.com is the place to visit for a hassle-free holiday. Buy factory direct and save 40 to 60% with free delivery. Celebrate TreeClassics.com's 12th year on the web. Type in CO22 for an additional 10% discount when checking out. TreeClassics.com, their price and their quality cannot be beat. Flu season is here. Most adults could benefit from a flu shot. But if you're 65 or over, or living with a chronic health problem like diabetes or heart disease, you're at a greater risk for getting sick, so it's important to get immunized early. Walgreens can help. Healthcare professionals are offering flu and pneumonia shots at participating Walgreens. For more information, talk to your Walgreens pharmacist, call 1-800-FLU-9950, or visit walgreens.com/flu. Restrictions may apply. All but one of the 38 states that still have capital punishment in this country use lethal injections for executions. Only Nebraska still uses the electric chair. But there are cases pending in which lawyers for those sentenced to death have argued that the three-drug protocol used in several states, including Virginia, involves a risk of cruel and unusual punishment. Last month, the Supreme Court agreed to hear a case in Kentucky. Pending that, lawyers for Emmett had asked Virginia and the Supreme Court to stay his execution scheduled for last night. The state court said no, but the Supreme Court said yes. Emmett's lawyer, Matthew Engel.
Now the execution is stayed, and we go forward with our appeal of the denial of our lethal injection lawsuit in the Fourth Circuit.
What does this mean?
I think we're going to see more stays of execution when lethal injection is an issue until the Supreme Court decides that issue, and that issue is not going to be decided until sometime in the spring.
CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
I don't think this has a huge long-term ramifications, especially for the defendant here. I think all it does is sort of hold things in place until the Supreme Court can look at that lethal injection case coming out of Kentucky.
So death row convicts can breathe easier, but not for long, says Cohen.
If they rule in favor of the defendants in these Kentucky cases, all they're going to do is come up with a policy, a standard that state and prison officials have to meet when they execute someone. You know, better medicine, more professional conditions, and so forth.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Past the hour. Thanks for joining us on the Peter B. Collins Show today. I'm very pleased for the next 30 minutes to present the co-author of a powerful new book called The Israel Lobby and U.S. Foreign Policy. He is Professor John Mearsheimer, a political science professor at the University of Chicago, who also is co-director of the program on international security policy. He co-authored the book with Stephen Walt, who is a professor of international affairs at Harvard University. Professor Mearsheimer, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure, Peter.
First up, on just a lighter note, I really enjoyed the full-page ad that launched your book in the New York Times a few weeks back, and I saved it. First of all, it's one of the few times I've seen a book depicted in its actual size. But I love the little bug here on the right side. It said, "Watch for appearances on PBS's The News Hour and The Colbert Report."
The truth is, Peter, I was on The Colbert Report.
How did that go?
I thought it went very well, in that I survived. As you know, comedy is not my area of expertise. Scholarship is, and you put someone like me up against Stephen Colbert, and it's Bambi versus Godzilla. And we know who's Bambi and who's Godzilla. But I think that given that, it turned out very well. And it turned out to be an enjoyable experience. For some reason that I can't explain, I was very relaxed on the set. And I felt that the banter back and forth with him went very well.
Well, I just thought it was interesting that your publisher sees these as roughly equivalent, the News Hour and the Colbert Report. I guess it's promotion.
I guess so. The fact is, and this surprised me greatly, a huge number of young people watch the Colbert Report.
Oh, yeah.
So many people have given up on the mainstream media as a source of their news that they watch Comedy Central religiously. And I was quite amazed at the number of students at the University of Chicago and also at MIT, where I visited the day after I did the Colbert Show, who watch it religiously and had seen me on it.
Yeah, yeah, it is amazing. And I do watch Colbert occasionally, but it's on at 11:30 out here, and I don't last that long usually to when he gets to the interview segment. So I missed your appearance there. Well, Professor, next, I want to commend you and your colleague, Professor Walt, for having the courage to take on a very difficult subject and to weather the withering attacks that inevitably result. Jimmy Carter experienced it last year. But when one criticizes the state of Israel, its leaders, and its policies, it's unfortunate but inevitable that you will be nailed or labeled as anti-Semitic. And I don't believe that's the case, as I have read parts of your book and look forward to completing it. I think you've had a very measured approach. You are not anti-Israel. You're certainly not anti-Semitic or anti-Jewish in any way that is evident to me. And it's sad to me that we can't have honest, open, and rational debate that doesn't degenerate into that level of name-calling.
It's hard to disagree with that.
Then let me go to this. I'd like to start with what you label as final thoughts at the very end of the book. And then I want to focus, because we only have limited time today, on AIPAC and PNAC. My listeners are pretty familiar with those two labels. You write, "Israel's creation and subsequent development is a remarkable achievement. Had American Jews not organized on Israel's behalf and convinced important politicians to support their objectives, Israel might never have been established. U.S. and Israeli interests have never been identical, however, and Israel's current policies are at odds with America's own national interests and certain core U.S. values. Unfortunately, in recent years, the lobby's political clout and public relations acumen have discouraged U.S. leaders from pursuing Middle East policies that would advance American interests and protect Israel from its worst mistakes. The lobby's influence, in short, has been bad for both countries. There is nonetheless a silver lining in America's current plight, because the costs of these failed policies are now so apparent, we have an opportunity for reflection and renewal. Although the lobby remains a powerful political force, its adverse impact is increasingly hard to overlook. A country as rich and powerful as the U.S. can sustain flawed policies for quite some time, but reality cannot be ignored forever." I think that's a very powerful statement. And tell me how it ties together with the current initiatives where the Bush administration, very late in now into its lame duck phase, has finally started to try to assemble some peace talks. Annapolis, Maryland, late November is the venue and the schedule. But do you take them seriously?
Well, first of all, every American president since Lyndon Johnson in 1967 has opposed the settlements that the Israelis have built on the West Bank and in the Gaza Strip.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, the main reason that the United States has not been able to put any pressure on Israel to stop building settlements and to stop colonizing the occupied territories is because of the power of the lobby. Now, what's going on today is that the Bush administration is aware that this settlement building and the fact that the Palestinians don't have a state of their own is causing the United States huge problems in the Arab and Islamic world. And what the United States wants to do is see if it can figure out some way to get the Israelis and the Palestinians to reach a deal so that the Palestinians finally get a state of their own. We can put this conflict to rest, and we can do a great deal to ameliorate our problems in that region of the world. But, of course, the problem is that Israel has no intention of giving the Palestinians a viable state of their own, and there's no way the Bush administration can put any pressure on Israel to do so because of the power of the lobby, all of which is to say that this conference that people are talking about in November is probably either not going to happen, or if it does happen, be a failure.
Professor, tell us about the origins and the clout of AIPAC. It's A-I-P-A-C, and many people think that the PAC stands for Political Action Committee, but in fact, it's the American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee. And this is a very powerful organization that has extraordinary influence over both Democrats and Republicans.
Right. It's not a PAC, so that it does not give money to political candidates, but it does certainly help the actual PACs direct their money towards political candidates. AIPAC is by far the most powerful organization in the Israel lobby, and it's especially powerful on Capitol Hill. And one of the key elements of its power is the fact that it can direct money through PACs that it's associated with to political candidates, as I say. The organization first began to grow in the 1950s, but it was rather small at the time. And it was even rather small and not very powerful in the 1960s and 1970s. But in the early 1980s, when a man named Tom Dine took control of AIPAC, he turned it into something of a leviathan among lobbies in Washington. And over the course of the 1980s up to the present, it has become a very formidable organization.
We're talking with Professor John Mearsheimer from the University of Chicago, co-author of the new book, The Israel Lobby and U.S. Foreign Policy. Thanks for a nice, succinct title. We have had trouble with subtitle creep in recent years. Now, Professor, AIPAC does have a tremendous influence. And again, I want to parse what is an understandable and reasonable activity on behalf of American citizens, many of whom happen to be Jewish, but it's not there's no litmus test to support AIPAC that you must be a Jew. And this is primarily an organization that has moved farther to the right, particularly with the ascent of the neocons in the late 90s, cemented by George Bush's presidency over the last 7 years. And AIPAC, as you point out in the book, has tremendous influence. And what is it based on? What is the way it manages to be as powerful in many cases as, say, the NRA on its issues, or some of the other lobbies like Mothers Against Drunk Driving on that very specific issue?
Yeah, that's a great question. Look, the fact is that since the founding of the American political system in the 18th century, interest groups have been at the heart of that system. Interest group politics are part of the warp and woof of daily life in the United States. And what we see is that small groups of well-organized and smart and well-funded people can punch above their weight. They can put significant pressure on politicians to pursue policies that the broader population might not favor. The National Rifle Association is a perfect example. If you were to canvass the American people on whether or not we should have gun control laws. It's almost certain that we would have much stricter gun control laws than we now have. But the reason we don't have strict gun control laws is because the NRA, which is a very small organization, certainly small compared to the broader population, has tremendous clout inside the Beltway, and it can push politicians to pursue the policies that it, the NRA, favors. The same basic thing is true with the Israel lobby. It's the nature of the American political system that allows groups like the Farm Lobby, the American Association of Retired People, the Cuban Lobby, mm-hmm. the Israel Lobby, and so forth and so on, to wield such power. What also makes the Israel Lobby very effective is that it has hardly any opposition. There's no real Arab lobby. There's no Palestinian lobby. And despite the fact many people think the oil lobby wields great influence in the realm of foreign policy, that's simply not true. So the Israel lobby pretty much has the field to itself. And for those reasons, it is very powerful.
Professor, two eye-openers for me in this chapter about, you start off on the Israel lobby, but it's focused heavily on AIPAC and its influence. One, you point out that it has reached the level, and again, this is not uncommon in these interest groups. For example, it's fair to say that the criticisms of the environmental movement, that it's become entrenched, almost an industry unto itself, I think that is a fair criticism. And you point out that the Israel lobby in this country is now in some ways dependent on maintaining a crisis for the state of Israel so that it can continue to raise relatively massive amounts of money from Americans so that these huge entities, I mean, AIPAC, what, has a couple of hundred employees? They become addicted to the crisis for their own continued existence.
Well, there's two sorts of threats that organizations in the lobby like to emphasize. One is the threat of anti-Semitism in Europe and in the United States, because the belief is that if you can convince American Jews that the wolf is at the door, they will give large amounts of money to these organizations. The other threat that is emphasized is the threats that exist in the Middle East to Israel. Regarding the latter, the fact is that Israel is by far the most powerful country in the Middle East, and it's been the most powerful country in the Middle East since the establishment of the State of Israel in 1948. It's no accident that Israel won the 1948 war, the 56 war, the 67 war, and the 1973 war, all before massive American aid began to flow to Israel. And since 1973, there's no country in the region that would dare pick a fight with Israel. Israel is the Goliath in the Middle East, and it is a very secure country. But nevertheless, the lobby has to go to great lengths to describe it as a David surrounded by a series of Goliaths, mm-hmm. so that American Jews and others will give money to those organizations. And then the other part of the story, as I said, is that these organizations like to constantly argue that anti-Semitism is a major problem in the United States. And in fact, that people like Jimmy Carter and Steve Walt and John Mearsheimer are major league anti-Semites, and therefore money should be given to these organizations to combat dangerous people like us.
And sir, I don't like to pry and really inquire about things like this, but based on your surname, I'm guessing you're Jewish.
No.
You're not?
No.
Okay, my apology. I just wanted to
you don't have to apologize, but...
Well, I wanted to clarify that because I wasn't sure.
No. Sometimes people think that because the name does sound Jewish, but it's mm-hmm. actually German.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to pause for a break here. The other eye-opener for me was the interlocking groups here that share board members and donors, and in particular, the intersection of AIPAC and PNEC. PNAC, the Project for a New American Century. We'll continue in a moment. If you have a question or comment for Professor Mearsheimer, give us a call now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. It's 888-573-8372. More in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. What a concept. AM 540 KRXA.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years.
and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. My guest is Professor John Mearsheimer, a professor of political science at the University of Chicago, and co-author with Stephen Walt of Harvard of the new book, The Israel Lobby and U.S. Foreign Policy. It's powerful information, and I hope you'll pick up the book and read it, because I think it strives to create a more balanced role for the United States in brokering honest peace deals in the Middle East, and it identifies the real power of what they label the Israel lobby in terms of U.S. policy. Professor, I want to turn to what I described as the intersection of AIPAC, which we talked about in the last segment, and PNAC, the Project for a New American Century, which wrote the blueprint for what we see as the invasion and occupation of Iraq and some of the other efforts of the Bush administration in foreign policy. And I'm this at the risk of confusing people with alphabet soup. I just want to name a few of these entities that people may or may not be familiar with. The American Enterprise Institute, the Center for Security Policy, the Hudson Institute, the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, the Jewish Institute for National Security Affairs, the Middle East Forum, the Project for a New American Century, and the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. Now, we don't have time to identify all these people, but, for example, you show that Elliot Abrams is a affiliated with CSP, Hudson, and PNAC. Doug Feith, who served in the Defense Department under Rumsfeld, now at Georgetown, affiliated with CSP and JINSA. Gene Kirkpatrick, affiliated with almost all of those groups. Norman Potteritz at Hudson Commentary, PNAC. And many of these people also have links to the Weekly Standard and other outlets of the right-wing media machinery.
Tell me a little bit about your view of PNAC and the extent to which it is an extension of the Israel lobby.
Well, PNAC is a key institution inside the lobby. Bill Kristol, who also runs Weekly Standard, is basically the founding father and the director of PNAC. And PNAC actually involves a small number of people, but they have written a number of reports and run a number of conferences that have had a big impact on American foreign policy. Most people believe that the ideas that they generated starting in 1997 and running up to 2001 underpinned the Bush doctrine. There's no question that PNAC was deeply interested in attacking Iraq as early as 1998 and pushed very hard for that policy up through 2003 when it really happened. So it is a very important educational organization in the lobby. And in that sense, it's different than, say, AIPAC, which is not interested so much in generating ideas, but actually lobbying inside the Beltway in the normal way that we understand the concept of lobbying, i.e. going up onto Capitol Hill mm-hmm. and talking to congressmen and senators.
Yeah, I want people to read more about it in the book. Dave and Eureka wanted to ask, how can we find what Congress members are indebted to AIPAC? Is there a website or any independent source of that information, Professor?
Oh, there are all sorts of sources that on the internet that you can Google that tell where congressmen and congresswomen get their money and show you who gets money from pro-Israel PACs. Remember, AIPAC doesn't give money,
right?
But there are various PACs that do, mm-hmm. and it's reasonably easy to track that down.
Any one source that you would recommend for Dave?
I can't off the top of my head, Peter.
Okay. Now to Billy in Capitola. You're on the air, Billy. Go right ahead.
Jew hate or you?
Pardon me?
No.
I'm sorry, I didn't have you faded up. Say that joke again.
I said, Peter B., you Jew hate or you?
Okay, now I got it.
Yeah. Now, you, of course, realize that I don't think you're anti-Semitic, even though I wouldn't consider you Israel's best friend, that's for sure.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Well, and let me qualify that, because I think I would fit the description of a good friend of Israel. I think that the U.S. shouldn't be anybody's best friend in the Middle East, starting with Saudi Arabia and including Israel and the Palestinians.
You don't think that America should be Israel's bitch?
No, I don't. Professor?
No, but I was going to say the point I would make is good friends are people who criticize you when you're doing foolish things. We have a situation here in the United States where it's almost impossible to criticize Israel without getting accused of being an anti-Semite, so mm-hmm. therefore very few people criticize Israel. This, in my opinion, is not being a friend of Israel. The fact of the matter is that all states in the international system make mistakes from time to time. They pursue foolish policies. Certainly true of the United States.
Amen.
I have a couple of questions
true of
for
Israel
you,
as well.
The point of that joke in the beginning is to say, Peter, actually, you do a pretty good job of criticizing Israel and not sounding like an anti-Semitic.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I just got 1 minute, Billy, so go ahead. One question, please.
My questions are, you mentioned, first of all, you said that at one point that Israel was secure. I don't think I wouldn't feel secure if anybody was lobbing missiles into my little area. But that's just me. And the other question I have for you is, you said Israel does not want a Palestinian state. I was curious as to why you think that is.
All right, Professor?
Well, Israel is interested in controlling all of the West Bank. And if you're interested in controlling the West Bank, there's no way there can be a Palestinian state unless you want to give them a handful of bantustans and call that a state. The fact is that since the creation of Israel, the leaders of that state have been deeply interested in expanding beyond what is today called Green Line Israel.
Mm-hmm. Professor, just about 20 seconds. Please continue.
Okay. Then on the second point, or the second question about whether or not Israel is secure, mm-hmm. there's no question that Israel faces a problem from terrorism, from Hezbollah, and from Hamas. But these are not existential threats, and they're not threats that Israel can't deal with.
All right.
All countries face certain threats, but Israel's long-time survival, long-term survival is definitely guaranteed.
The book is The Israel Lobby in U.S. Foreign Policy. We've been talking with Professor John Mearsheimer. I'd like to talk with you again when I finish the book, sir.
My pleasure. I'd love to do it.
I'll be in touch. Thank you.
Okay, Peter.
If you own a classic car, or you've been looking for a special classic, Newport Classic Motors offers complete services for all classic, exotic, and custom vehicles. Dennis Jones and the expert team at Newport Classic Motors, your one-stop classic car headquarters. They offer guaranteed services, from a taillight lens to a frame-up restoration, sandblasting, chroming, even airbrushing, pinstriping, and custom painting for cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, and even golf carts. Get 20% off any custom paint job booked in October. Newport Classic Motors, located in Southern California near Disneyland. They can arrange quick, reasonable transport from anywhere in the U.S. They'll also buy or sell your classic vehicle fast. Call Dennis today at 714-333-6822. That's 714-333-6822. Newport Classic Motors.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Benazir Bhutto's return to Pakistan is marred by a deadly bombing.
The convoy had only just passed when a bomb went off.
Congress fails to override the president's veto on children's health care. I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. It was to be the former prime minister's triumphal return from exile. She rode an open truck through the teeming streets of Karachi, ignoring the advice of security officials to take more precautions. Suddenly, one explosion, then another, more powerful. Bhutto spokesman Faratullah Babar was in a vehicle right behind the truck.
There was pandemonium. Nobody knew what had happened, and there was blood all around, splatter on the roadside.
At least 126 people were killed, more than 240 injured. Tim Marshall of Sky News in Karachi says security was inadequate at best.
There were no crash barriers whatsoever. There were vehicles parked along the route every now and again. There were people on motorcycles. The people could get very, very close. Nobody was searched, because how do you search hundreds of thousands of people? It's not possible. She took the risk, and she nearly paid the price.
Bhutto is said to be safe at home now. She returned to Pakistan after forging an uneasy alliance with President Pervez Musharraf. That and her pro-American posture has earned the wrath of Islamic militants. Now this.
Hi, I'm David Oreck. I'm here at the International Airport, where my incredibly light, amazingly powerful Oreck XL is the vacuum of choice. In fact, my Oreck XL is the choice of cleaning professionals in thousands of hotels, offices, and schools around the world. To try it in your own home, risk-free for 30 days, call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200, and I'll get it to you faster than you can find your luggage.
When you were a kid, wishing upon a star was a cute idea. But unless I'm completely in the dark here, you're not a kid anymore. Though you still got dreams, don't you? You got a plan to get them up and running, or are you just keeping your fingers crossed? Maybe it's time for a wake-up call.
Dream Plan Track from Ameriprise Financial. Financial planning redefined. Visit us at Ameriprise.com/dream.
Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., number FINRA and SIPC.
A crucial vote in the House today.
On this vote, the yeas are 273, the nays are 156. Two-thirds not being in the affirmative, the bill is not passed.
Supporters of a greatly expanded children's health insurance program failed to override President Bush's veto. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss begins our coverage.
The bill would have provided health insurance for 4 million more children in low-income families. It had wide bipartisan support, including a staggering 80% of the public in a CBS News poll. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi pleaded with House Republicans to override the veto.
The president is isolated in this. Don't join him.
But the override effort fell 13 votes short.
I grieve greatly that we did not prevail today.
Michigan's John Dingell said they'll keep working on it. House Republican leader John Boehner says that's what he wants.
Let's sit down and work together in a bipartisan manner to resolve our differences.
Without some kind of new law, the 6 million kids insured now would lose their health care. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House, where the failure to override the veto is welcome news.
But spokeswoman Dana Perino says President Bush now wants to move forward and find common ground with Democrats on a plan to reauthorize and expand SCHIP. And he says he's willing to increase funding beyond his initial 20% increase, if that's what it takes to cover all of the poorest children.
Speaker Pelosi promises a new bill within 2 weeks. A painful milestone for consumers, the price of crude oil settled at $89.47 a barrel in New York this afternoon. Then, in electronic trading, it briefly topped $90 for the first time. Four Air Force officers are being relieved of duty and could face court-martial because of a major blunder in August. CBS News correspondent David Martin says they allowed a B-52 bomber to fly over several states carrying nuclear-armed missiles.
It was supposed to have been a routine transfer of cruise missiles carrying dummy warheads. But six of the missiles taken out of the weapons bunker were armed with nuclear warheads, roughly 60 times the explosive power of the bomb that leveled Hiroshima. The real warheads can be identified simply by looking through a one-inch viewport. If it shows red, it's nuclear. But no one checked.
Retired Admiral William Crow has died at 82. He chaired the Joint Chiefs of Staff under President Reagan, and under President Clinton, he served as U.S. Ambassador to Britain. Joe Torre will not return as manager of the New York Yankees. After being eliminated in the first round of the playoffs, the team offered him a one-year contract with a substantial pay cut. He turned it down today. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
When's the best time to save on service for your Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury? Right now. Hurry to your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership during the Right Now Factory Authorized Service Event. Buy four Michelin or BF Goodrich tires and get a $50 gas card on us. That's a $50 gas card on us. And there's more. Bring in any competitor's current price ad on the name brand tires we sell within 30 days of purchase, and we'll beat that price, guaranteed. That's two great ways to save on the tires recommended for your vehicle. You'll also find fantastic savings on Motorcraft brakes, batteries, maintenance packages, and more. Plus, our Ford-trained experts use only genuine Ford parts. Right place, right prices, right now. Hurry, the Right Now Factory Authorized Service Event ends soon. Visit your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership right now.
Call 1-877-310-3673 or see participating dealer through 11307.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Yeah, we'll sell it by the slice, no problem. Thanks for joining us on the Peter B. Collins Show live in Monterey, Eureka, Coos Bay, and Sacramento. And our listeners in Portland, Oregon on the Mighty 620 KPOJ. Good to have you with us, too. If you're listening live, you can call in toll-free this hour. Scott Dick is with us, our contributor on military and veterans issues. We've got a whole list of things to talk about. And if you're listening in Portland, you can drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com. That's the best way to check in. Coming up next hour, Ron Pollock returns. He's from Families USA. They're the promoters of the SCHIP bill. And here on Thursday, the bill, the attempt to override the president's veto of the bill failed by just 13 votes in the House. We'll find out more about strategies to keep it alive and get as much as possible in negotiations with the Bush administration. That's coming up next hour. Scott Dick, welcome back to the PBC show today.
It's always a pleasure, Peter.
Mine too. And you informed me, because I'm in an isolated, secure location, that the hourly newscast you just heard reported that some individuals may be court-martialed for a story that many people know about, but we still have lingering questions, a lot of them. And this was the transfer back in, I think it was September, of six nuclear bombs that were shipped from the Minot Air Force Base in South Dakota to the Barksdale Air Base in Louisiana. And what raised eyebrows is that this was conducted in a very unorthodox manner that violates all the protocols for the transfer of active nuclear weapons.
Well, there's what the wire service is reporting is that the Air Force has announced that up to four officers may be disciplined up to and including court-martial. Well, that'll be the day. I'm not going to hold my breath that we'll see them at court-martial. If it was the naval services, you could almost count on it. But with the Air Force, we'll see if they get anything more than a severe talking to. But the important thing to note is that they weren't bombs. I don't mean to be correcting you on the air, Peter, but they were.
No, go right ahead.
They're cruise missiles.
Okay.
And so I could see where they would take training cruises, which would have conventional warheads or dummy warheads, and that's just an inert object that when it hits the ground, it goes thud instead of boom. And I fired, as a tank officer, I fired plenty of those training rounds, and they're normally painted blue. So you can automatically spot the training rounds from the active. Those are normally OD green. Mm-hmm. And then not have a red or blue or green stripe, depending on what particular kind of round they are. In case of cruise missiles, I could see where they'd want the pilots to fly with the cruise missiles on the outside to get a feel for what it's like to carry a full load, you know, aerodynamically, and give them training.
Mm-hmm.
So that answers the question, why would these guys be carrying cruise missiles without ever the intention of launching them? And I'm speculating now.
Okay.
And so then what it takes is for somebody who's handling the ammunition to look through a sight glass. And, you know, everybody's seen those. You can look in your car air conditioning unit and find the sight glass to see if you need, you know, whatever the
freon
is now. It used to be freon, now something else.
Right.
So you have to look through the sight glass, and if it's showing red, it means it's a nuclear weapon. And so what these Yahoos did is they loaded these cruise missiles on as part of a training mission and landed, and it was a master sergeant, Air Force master sergeant, on the ground, not part of the crew, that said, hey, boys, do you realize that these are hot nukes? And then I'm sure there was a severe amount of pee and pants that went on after that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they reported it, and, of course, it wandered its way through the chain of command and finally said, you know, there's no way we're not. I think it's actually the Air Force internal that spilled the beans to the media.
Mm-hmm. Now, there was an announcement that there was going to be a stand down as a result of this. Do you know if that occurred?
Yes, it was scheduled. We were trying. You know, somebody called in to the show and was upset that they'd never heard of stand downs before and they didn't know it was going to happen. And there was a stand down before 911. And I was like, no, they have safety stand ins all the time. And they did have it on that Friday.
Okay.
And, you know, for the Air Force, they do a half a day's worth of training and then give them the rest of the day off.
Okay. Now, Scott, one of the questions that's been raised is that from what I've read, and you know more about this than I do, but from what I've read, the way that live nuclear missiles or bombs are transferred is in the belly of a cargo plane, not, you know, hung on the wing of an aircraft. Now, you explained that for training purposes, there may have been an intentional plan to put the cruise missiles, but they should have had dummy warheads. Isn't it a very serious violation of military protocols to, you know, not only put these live nuclear weapons on the wing of the plane in question, but also for it to then fly over domestic airspace? Aren't those both no-nos?
Well, Peter, I'm giggling to myself because when the ammunition officer goes to the bunker to draw out the weapons, and they keep all training rounds and nuclear weapons or hot weapons in the same bunkers, so they have them divided, and they're obvious. And it's hard to miss the packaging. Now, it strikes me as very odd that they would have training cruises next to nuclear tip cruises. That seems so far-fetched to me because nuclear weapons are supposed to be in the bunker of the bunker of the bunker of the subsection of the bunker. And so to have that whole idea that they were intermixed with training cruises, and then somebody went in there and inadvertently pulled out the 6 or 8 on a forklift and then opened the packaging and then slapped on those on the bottom of a B-52 for transport and training is it's not so sinister as it is. If it wasn't nuclear weapons, it would be laughable.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be surprised. You know, I made a joke about getting the severest talking to you, but that's really a court-martial offense. That's I mean, it's okay to be stupid in the military, but that's way, way in the violating the UCMJ kind of stupid.
But wouldn't it take multiple individuals with the right passcodes and, you know, thumbprints or retina prints? These are very high security bunkers, as you described, and it couldn't just be one guy with a forklift who went in and pulled out the wrong pallet.
Yeah, exactly. No, more than one pallet. Those things, cruise missiles are big.
Yeah.
So it would be like a couple of forklifts full, and these are big forklifts, and the protocols to get nuclear weapons out of a bunker, it would seem to me that there'd be some major lieutenant colonel standing at the front of that bunker saying, "You want what for what?" I mean, gone are the days when literally at the Pearl Harbor, there was a sergeant refusing to issue ammunition because no officer was there to sign for it. So those days are gone. But, I mean, really, that's the kind of failure that should have the Senate Armed Services Committee, the House Overwatch Committee, everybody investigating how we keep and store our nuclear weapons.
Now,
I mean,
Scott,
should be the big introspective.
Because there has been so little coverage and these questions remain, it fuels conspiracy ideas and the Internet is rife with them right now. But one that seemed to be the most credible to me is that Barksdale is a transit point for munitions being shipped to Iraq. Now, I don't have proof of this. This is something I read on the Internet. But if that's true, could this have been intentional and not just the kind of whoops effect that we're kind of being led to believe?
No. And the reason I'm so clear on that is because if I was the boss and I wanted to move nuclear weapons to Iraq, it sure the hell heck wouldn't be strapped to the wings of a B-52 taking off from one semi-public place and landing in another semi-public place. It would have been in the belly of a cargo plane, the most modern, brand-new, sophisticated C-17, and it never would have seen the light of day. It would have taken off in the middle of the night from wherever they embarked to land it to its point, and nobody would have ever seen that, and it would have been, you know, a black operation.
Mm-hmm.
This is too Keystone Cops to be a real black operation, but I could see where people would think that.
Yeah.
I mean, Peter, if you can imagine just me trying to find out my personal 9mm from my armor, who I gave the job to, if you saw what I had to go through to get that weapon, then you would know that this was all poop.
All right. I'm trying to believe you. The point is that it's hard to imagine that it could be a Keystone Cops episode because of all the safeguards that we expect to be in place.
Yeah, you certainly, if I was trying to move those in the middle of the night as part of an operation, they sure as heck wouldn't be on the wing of a aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
There's just too many civilians out there that could say, aren't those cruise missiles?
Yeah.
And it begs the reason that, you know, it just doesn't make any sense. And the Air Force, you know, even the majority of their enlisted folks have 4-year degrees. Some of them have masters. And people at that level just don't make, now, see, this is an argument for your conspiracy theorists, they just don't make these kind of boneheaded stunts. But, you know, Capola happens. That's too, because it's an Army, Air Force master sergeant that found him and pointed it out.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't have possibly blown a secret mission. It's impossible.
All right, now let me turn the tables on you here for a second, and don't take this personally, Scott, okay? But you're a really smart guy, and there are a lot of other really smart people, mostly related to the military, who somehow pronounce the word nuclear. And what is it about smart people who can't say nuclear? Now repeat after me 5 times. Nuclear.
Nuclear. Nuclear. Nuclear. It's I have a tendency to talk too fast, and I went through a big portion of my life not saying geez either. So we'd be running and jumping and stuff, and so it's not the first time, Peter. My pronunciation has been corrected, so I don't take it personally.
Very good. We're going to continue in just a moment and talk more with Scott Dick as he practices his pronunciation of nuclear. And we'll talk about the remarkable comments from General Sanchez released last weekend, and gosh, just about 3.5 years too late. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. Join the conversation with me and Scott Dick, our official contributor on military and veterans affairs. 888-573-8372 puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show. And check out our zippy new easy-to-use podcasts at peterbcollins.com.
News, commentary, and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos.
One of the biggest benefits for us are the relationships that we establish with our customers. Our customers have said that they love coming to our place because we have great stuff and great prices.
The thing that makes us unique is the mix of things. It's a very eclectic mix. We've become a destination for a lot of people. They'll bring friends out. They'll do little mini tour buses and bring friends. So we really, really appreciate that. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. We have everything from French soaps to linens to wall hangings.
And it's gotten to the point where people think of us when they need a gift. It's not just a utilitarian purchase or frivolous, but they make us a regular stop when they need a gift.
We're open from 10 to 5 Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
This is Larry Levine of the local United Nations Association. Don't miss our International Film Festival November 9th, 10th, and 11th at the beautiful Golden State Theater in downtown Monterey. We will screen 12 outstanding documentary films from Sudan, Iran, Cuba, Bolivia, Lesotho, and other countries. Admission is just $5 per day, free admission for all students. For films and times, go to www.unamontereybay.org. That's unamontereybay.org.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffeehouse in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Well, I guess that means it's traffic time. That is, in fact, the case. So let's give you the traffic. All right, so let's take a look at what's going on here. We do have a little bit of a problem working. Let's see, is our computer updates? There we go. Well, let's start off with a situation right now in Monterey, Highway 68 and Highway 1. A big rig stuck in the embankment there. We want to mention that we do have a little... paving operation going on in Salinas on Market Street today and tomorrow due to the intersections of from Villa Street to Monterey Street are subject to daytime and nighttime closures. Lights at Monterey, Salinas, and Lincoln Streets may be switched, flashing red for a necessary traffic control. So we're just going to advise folks about that. Also want to mention Santa Cruz, looking pretty good at this point. No problems to report. Monterey, northbound 1 between Carmel and Monterey, looking good. No problems.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking military, veterans issues, foreign policy, and stuff. With Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans affairs. He served in the Marine Corps, then jumped to the Army and retired at the rank of major. And besides helping us here on the PBC show, he's also the host of the Tasty Planet radio show about food, wine, and travel. Find out more at tastyplanet.org. Scott, this week, in response to some remarkable comments from General Ricardo Sanchez that unfortunately didn't really make a big splash in the media because he broke all the rules by giving a talk late on Friday that got buried in the Saturday paper, and then what most people heard was criticism of his comments as opposed to the original remarks he made. But he had some blistering things to say about the Bush administration, its poor planning and insufficient troops in the invasion of Iraq, poor planning, insufficient troops in the occupation of Iraq. And it prompted Jon Stewart over there at The Daily Show to launch a new feature called Now You Tell Us. So tell me your reaction. I mean, he's not the first general to go public and share his disagreement and dissatisfaction with Rumsfeld, Bush, et al. But the timing, of course, is disappointing because many people think, well, gosh, how about right after he came back from Iraq and was being blamed in part for Abu Ghraib? That would have been a good time for the general to speak up.
Well, how about, this is high on my weasel scale, Peter. And we talked about it a couple weeks ago. There's some weaseling out there. And he dodged a bullet on Abu Ghraib, and he's managed to avoid any kind of responsibility for that. He has managed to avoid any kind of responsibility for the failures in Iraq. He's pointed the finger at Bush. But what a lot of people aren't seeing, Peter, is the tremendous criticism he leveled at the media. Basically, he said it's the media's fault for the way things are in Iraq, as well as Bush.
So you know
Bush,
what? You
media.
Know what? I read several news accounts of that, and that part was left out of what I read.
Yeah, he went... I saw it in the blogosphere. He went on and on and on raking the media over the coals for not reporting and to reporting and doing this and doing that.
But, well, I'm really glad you mentioned it because, again, on television, and I read the Chronicle and the New York Times, that part was left out. All we saw was criticism of Rumsfeld, Bush, and the administration. Of course, names were not explicitly mentioned, but it was very clear who he was talking about. The media part got edited by, guess who? The media.
The media. So he's trying to create a legacy. He was missed. He said he was forced to retire because of Abu Ghraib. And actually, he just didn't get picked up for either another three-star billet or another four-star billet. And he was lucky the Senate approved him to retire as lieutenant general. He was very lucky. And if he would have retired during a Democratic Congress, it's a good possibility he wouldn't have been retired as lieutenant general. So he is coming out way dollar day late kind of thing, and he should just shut up and sort of go to all the industrial military complex boards where he's going to sit and be rewarded with being whoever he is.
Mm-hmm.
It frosts me because he could have done a lot to ease the suffering of the Iraqis and the American soldiers there if he would have done his job.
Yeah, one person I talked to compared the courage of Lieutenant Aaron Watata, who refused an order to move with his unit to Iraq, and said, that's an illegal order, I will not accept it. And imagine, and we can only imagine, if somebody like Sanchez had said, at some point refused an order from Rumsfeld, saying, that's an illegal order, and I will not accept it.
Well, yeah, you can only imagine that, but don't hold your breath. His pension is a heck of a lot bigger than mine, and there's nothing he's going to do to jeopardize his future, play money.
So I may be putting you on the spot here, but can you think of a way that we could insulate a general like him by making sure that his pension is not at risk and subject to reduction through political paybacks, so that we could have generals who speak out, not just to snipe or whine, but when very crucial issues of an immoral order, for example, arise?
Well, you get into that distinction between pensions are fairly well protected, but when you disobey an order, we've heard the right-wing blogosphere say that they're traitors. So now you have to go into court, and you have to fight it out in a military court if you disobey a lawful order from an order from a superior officer, because they're going to claim it's lawful. And you have to prove, basically you have to prove that it's an illegal order and you shouldn't follow it. So the onus, the burden is on you. There's no protection for that kind of thing under the UCMJ.
Mm-hmm.
The only place that military officers are protected are tenured officers at the service academies. They're tenured like college professors. And by the time they make colonel and they're tenured, they're untouchable. They can say anything they want.
All right, Scott, we're going to take a break. We'll return. Scott Dick is with us for the next half hour. Join us on the phone, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the situation with Turkey moving more troops along the Iraqi border. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Letting the S-chips fall. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. There is no question that the Democrats have been milking the children's health care debate for every political drop.
It's not going away because the children are not going away.
Nancy Pelosi, who is not just Speaker of the House.
I'm the mother of five children and the grandmother of six, soon to be seven.
And in case the president still didn't get the message, there were the TV spots showing various Republicans in photo ops surrounded by really cute eight-year-olds.
I know you like us kids. But if you want to keep us hanging out with you for the cameras, you need to protect us, not the president.
Zing! So yes, the Democrats milked it. But on this issue, the Republicans were like dairy cows. They were so milkable. The president says he opposes expanding the health care program for children because he is philosophically opposed to expanding government health care. Except that at the same time he was trying to save tax money on children's health care, he was pushing for more tax money for veterans' health care.
We as a government have a solemn duty to, one, support their families, and two, to give them what they need.
Sometimes guaranteeing health care is the government's business.
Part of making sure that we remain a volunteer army is to make sure that the Veterans Administration is well organized and the programs address the veterans' needs.
Okay. But where is that future volunteer army going to come from? From sickly children? I mean, if nothing else, the nation needs to keep every eight-year-old healthy so they can take their turn patrolling Diyala Province in 10 years. Now this.
Now you can dial a diamond and save half by calling Empire Diamond at 1-800-SAVE-HALF. Over 70 years in the Empire State Building, they'll sell diamonds wholesale without a middleman's markup. That's right, GIA-graded diamonds at half the price of famous high-end jewelers. Qualified buyers may have diamonds sent to their home or office for a free 10-day no-obligation inspection and get a 60-day money-back guarantee. So save half on your diamonds. Visit at dialadiamond.com or call 1-800-SAVE-HALF. That's 1-800-SAVE-HALF.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli, with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family. Pacific Grove's Joe Rombie has turned his attention to pizza. Central Coast residents and visitors can now enjoy the finest pizza this side of Italy. Whether you crave the elegant simplicity of a pizza margherita or one of Joe Rombie's signature creations, like the Totally Chipotle, Crazy for Mushrooms, or famous Malrose, you'll fall in love with pizza all over again at Joe Rombie's La Piccolo Casa Pizzeria, next door to Joe Rombie's La Mia Cucina on 17th Street in Pacific Grove. And with the holiday season approaching, if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombie's La Mia Cucina, with accommodations for groups of any size from 10 to 60. So for great dinners or private parties, it's Joe Rombie's La Mia Cucina, next door to Joe Rombie's La Piccolo Casa Pizzeria. Click on joerombie.com or call 831-373-2416. Or for pizza, call 373-0129.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered.
And he wrote
except
that.
Except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. Thanks for letting me be your carpool companion. Lines are open if you'd like to check in with me and Scott Dick, our contributor on military veterans issues. 888-5-PETER-B, toll free. That's 1-888-573-8372. Coming up in about half an hour, we're going to talk to Ron Pollock from Families USA, proponents of the S-CHIP legislation. And the veto override failed earlier today on Thursday. We'll get more info from Ron. We continue now with Scott Dick, and lots more to talk about. Before we talk about Turkey, let's take a call from Sacramento. We've got Muhammad on the line. Welcome, sir. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you, Peter, for allowing me on your show.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just want to ask Scott about the relation between General Ricardo Sanchez and the disappearance of $12 billion of Iraqi oil money.
Now, Mohammed, a little clearer, please. You're asking about General Sanchez and Iraqi oil money.
There are allegations that $12 billion of Iraqi oil money disappeared.
Cash. Well, the number I heard was closer to $8 billion, but still it's a big chunk of change, yes. So, Scott, what he's asking about, there were allegations that during his tenure, and Sanchez was only the commander in Iraq for about a year or a little more, but during that time, some eight, and Muhammad is saying 12, I certainly don't know exactly how much, but money from the Iraqi oil ministry went missing. And to date, we've heard very little about that, and I don't know that anyone's been held accountable.
We haven't heard anything, Peter, about the $9 billion that was also lost. It wasn't oil money. It was reconstruction money. Or we haven't really heard too much about the 175,000 weapons that were lost that we gave to the Iraqi military as well. Mm-hmm. So they were shipped to Iraq. So no, none of those guys, Bremer, Sanchez, Casey, in fact, Abizaid, none of those guys are being held accountable for anything. I guess they just call that, you know, what is it? They call that in the banking leaks.
Well, and in retail, it's called shrinkage.
Shrinkage. There we go. That's a better term.
Mohammed, anything else?
Yeah, well, I want to say that there must be a relation between Sanchez coming and talk publicly about the war at Bush and that investigation by Henry Waxman about that money is just put on the shelf. I mean, he must have some assurance from the Democrats that investigation will not resume.
Mm-hmm. Well, Waxman is conducting numerous investigations. Part of it relates to contractor fraud and other issues, related to war profiteering by mostly American companies. So hopefully we'll see more on that investigation, and I'm glad you raised the issue. Thanks for the call today from Sacramento. And on that note, Scott, there are two stories that I have here. What I do is all week I clip stories about Iraq and the military and just save them up for you. Federal agents are investigating whether several large food companies charge the government excessively high prices for supplies to American troops in Iraq and Kuwait. The companies being examined are Sara Lee, ConAgra, and other American companies, including a company called Public Warehousing, which is alleged to have improperly taken payments from these food companies. And in an unrelated matter, but the same subject, last week, October 15 is the dateline of this story, the second highest ranking member of the Air Force's procurement team was found dead Sunday in an apparent suicide. His name is Charles Rikers. He came under scrutiny by the Senate Armed Services Committee after reports that the Air Force had arranged for him to be paid about $14,000 a month by a private contractor. And his name is pronounced Rikers. He committed suicide rather than face the music on that. It seems a little odd if it's only $13,000, but Very hard to judge what goes on in the mind of a despondent individual. But the question I put to you is, in your experience, the 20 years you served, just how much profiteering and graft, corruption, kickbacks, how much of that activity is going on, and in a war zone, does it spin further out of control?
Well, it's always going on. Even in peacetime, you can see that an Army officer or a couple of enlisted people were involved in stealing government equipment and reselling it on the market, open market. When I was in Bosnia, the Russian soldiers, bless their hearts, were getting peanuts a day. I mean, really, almost literally. They would go regularly by our office, and they'd have four or five or six televisions that they bought in our PX because they had PX privileges going by. Now, how many TVs can you put in the barracks?
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, then they'd go by the next week and have another basket full, another shopping cart full that they're heading back over to the PX. Well, obviously, they're selling them on the black market in Bosnia.
Yeah.
So that kind of stuff goes on all the time, and it started, I think I've said this before on your show, one of LaGuardia's first measures that he wanted to get passed in the House of Representatives was to make it a capital offense to provide tainted food or equipment to the U.S. military because his father had died of tainted beef.
Oh.
So it's been going on forever, and, you know, blue-ribbon, red-blooded American companies, they love to make a profit, and if they can make a profit on the backs of our soldiers, it's the middle of a war. I mean, everybody's making money, so why not them?
Now, after World War II, there were major war profiteering investigations, and some companies had to cough up the money. I guess as long as we have Republican control in the White House, we can't expect that to happen. But it would be a nice outcome if Democrats do regain control of the White House and one or both houses in the elections next year.
Peter, until you can put a company's executives in prison for this kind of thing, what's the threat? So the company has to pay 5, 10, 15, 20, 100, 50 million, 700, that's all peanuts the cost of doing business. And as in the movie industry, it's written into their spreadsheets already.
Yeah, you're right.
It's just the cost of doing business.
Yeah, you're right. All right, now let's turn to the dust up with Turkey. A number of issues here that converge. One is that the resolution that was working its way through Congress that cleared the Lantos Committee, Foreign Relations, I think it is, condemning the genocide of Armenians by the Turkish government of 1915, raised so many hackles that a number of Democrats have deserted Speaker Pelosi, led by John Murtha, but it's a pretty massive defection. And so it appears that the Armenian resolution is going to be shelved or tabled for now. But separately, and perhaps in some ways fueled by this disagreement with the United States, Turkey has voted this week to authorize additional troops to deploy in northern Iraq. And this is causing big problems for the Bush administration. And Bush, in his news conference on Wednesday, said that we have tri-party talks, Iraq, Turkey, and the U.S., trying to resolve this issue. One of the things that surfaced in the debate over the Armenian resolution is that a huge portion of our materiel being flown into Iraq is transshipped through Turkey. And so having that cut off could be a real problem. In fact, right-wingers, I heard Michael Wiener Savage a few days ago saying that this was a plot by the Democrats. They were using the Armenian resolution as a backdoor way to cut off supplies to U.S. forces in Iraq and thus end the war without absolutely confronting the administration. You want to dismiss that?
Well, spoken like a true Wiener, Peter. Our Democratic leadership really that clever? Because if they were, we would have got the votes for the S-CHIP bill.
Yeah, and many others.
So, yeah, this is a way for them. I mean, it was a boneheaded stunt. I don't know exactly the motivation for introducing it right at this moment. You have Turkey on the verge. They've been on the verge of invading the Kurd part of Iraq for now a year. They've had some excursions and incursions into Iraq. They've shelled Iraqis. And so I don't get it. This tells me that, and Peter, we've talked about this on your show before, there was always an Arabic sort of conspiracy theory that said that we wanted Saddam Hussein to stay in power in Iraq because he controlled this mess. this fight between the Kurds in Iraq and the Kurds in Turkey, between the Turks and the Kurds. Mm-hmm. There's a large population of Kurdish, there's a large Kurdish minority in Turkey, and all of the different, the Shias and the Sunnis, and the only guy that could do that was Saddam Hussein. Well, we got some amateurs doing foreign policy, and now they withdrew Saddam and put us in there. So George Bush has not been able to do even what Saddam Hussein did. And as a result, we have what anybody with a first-year education in international relations would know is a big mistake.
Well, and as an armchair general, even before we went into Iraq, one of the alarms that I raised was this conflict between the Kurds and Turkey. For those who aren't familiar with it, the Kurdish population is concentrated in the southern part of Turkey. The Turkish government has been very brutal in suppressing them and in making it clear that Ankara, the capital of Turkey, opposes any kind of independence for Kurdistan, even in northern Iraq. And so this is something that was clear from the get-go, and the Bush administration ignored it, expecting that the blossoming of democracy was just going to be the great equalizer and everything would be all right.
And people don't realize Turks have been our strongest allies in many armpits of the world. Korea, I'm not calling Korea, I'm calling about the war in Korea. They were there with us. They were there with us in Vietnam as well, whenever, because they're a NATO ally. They've been strong allies, and they fought communists as hard as we fight communists, with all of the quotation marks around communists, if you know what I mean, Peter.
I do.
So they've been strong allies. We've always avoided this. This is a boneheaded thing, and it's why now, right now? Why is it necessary to do it this week? And I believe in calling a genocide, but let's deal with the fight we're in. And, you know, I don't understand. This is Turkey's trying to join the EU. They're fighting off Islamic fundamentalism in their own country. They're a strong secular state. The Turkish military is very powerful, and that you can be put in prison for calling the Armenian massacre a genocide in Iraq. I mean, in Turkey.
You're right.
So
mm-hmm.
What's the point? I don't get it. It's stupid.
Well, I have mixed feelings because on a pragmatic level, I don't disagree with you. I have two issues. One is that the House resolution is accurate, and it is not aimed at the current Erdogan government that runs Turkey. It is really essentially a historical statement. The Democrats appear to be trying to push it through because they have promised to do so, and Bush even promised to do so during the campaign in 2000. And I think they fear that some of the people who remember the genocide and a few who survived it are in their final years and simply want this feel-good resolution for that reason. I also understand that it's meaningless at the end of the day. It's not going to bring any Armenians back to life. It's not going to change the situation. But then again, I hate to whipsaw you, but Tom Lantos made a pretty strong comment last week when he said, look, we just passed a resolution condemning the emperor's wartime government in Japan in 1940 to 45 for the abuse of women who were forced into prostitution called comfort women for the Japanese troops in various nations that were invaded by Japan. And he said the Japanese government didn't really like it, but they understood that this was not aimed at the current government, but instead was aimed at really a footnote in the history books.
Yeah, so? Does it pass the so what test, Peter? I mean, but we haven't even finished our cleaning up our own house. Some people say that, now it sounds like Fox News, that we committed genocide in our own country against the indigenous peoples here. We've never condemned that. And I don't know if we've ever even had a House resolution condemning slavery in the United States. I'm not quite sure. But let's get our house in order first, it seems to me. And let's find another let's declare that Australia was a penal colony and condemn the Brits for that. Let's not throw gasoline on already. The Turks are mad at us already. So let's just throw some gasoline on there, Peter, and get it. Might as well just have them pull out of NATO and withdraw from the EU, and then we'll go from there.
All right, we've got a caller who wants to take us up on this issue. We'll do that right after the break, and anybody else can join in, too. Toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. More with Scott Dick in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Are you an atheist, agnostic, or a free thinker? Free Thought Radio's Dan Barker will be speaking at Cal State Monterey Bay on Monday, October 22nd. Dan is a former minister who will share his journey away from organized religion in a talk entitled Losing Faith in Faith. Meet Dan Barker Monday evening at CSUMB at 7 in the University Center, room 118, building 29. Dan will be kicking off CSUMB's new Free Thought Group, sponsored by the Secular Student Alliance. You can hear Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor every Sunday at noon, right here on AM 540.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Welcome to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at noon on KRXA 540 AM. Your Solar Future is about the practical, the passion, and the politics of going solar. Listen to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at high noon. Go to YourSolarFuture.com. See the solar videos sent in by folks like you. Save thousands of dollars. Make money as well. You'll see when you go to YourSolarFuture.com.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Peter B. Collins Show rolls on with our contributor Scott Dick on military and veterans issues. Dave joins us from the Pinnacles in San Benito County, California. Hello, Dave. You're on the air.
Well, hi, Peter. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
I just want to momentarily digress for a moment when you mentioned getting our own house in order. Over the weekend on C-SPAN was a book interview lecture by a guy named Randall Robinson, An Unbroken Agony, the whole dirt on Haiti, and it's just so disgusting what we have done. I mean, Haitians came over here and helped us fight in a revolution, and we couldn't put sanctions on them quick enough. By 1804, man, we were on their back, and it just gives you the creeps thinking about it. But what I was really wanting to talk about was this Iraqi thing with the autonomy of the local Kurds and the Federalists there in Baghdad being the Shiite majority. What's going to go on with the Constitution there? And I'll just take my answer off the air.
All right. Thank you, Dave. That's a complex set of issues. And, of course, Scott and I do not have a vote in the Iraqi parliament, nor do we really know that much about Nouri al-Maliki, the American handpicked prime minister there. But if I had to hazard a guess at this point, I think that the stalemate will continue as the killing continues. And I think that the Shiites are determined to decimate the Sunnis because they're trying to extract revenge for the Saddam period. And I think the Sunnis will fight for their lives and also try to decimate the Shiites as they attempt to regain the power that they had under Saddam. And I see this as a lose-lose situation with the U.S. really just caught in the crossfire and watching it go down. Scott?
If whatever it takes to get us out of the country, if we want to make it a federation of three states, then fine. Because whatever we do, Peter, is going to be wrong. And they're going to have to get their house in order. Probably what's going to happen is another sort of benign dictator is going to take over, if there's such a thing. And he'll be
or maybe not so benign.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to get that those feelings to go away, then they have to create the third biggest enemy and somebody who has power. And it's going to be a bloodbath. It could be to get everything sorted out, like Tito did, you know, like Hussein did, et cetera.
Well, things are getting more complicated by the moment. We've just discussed the pressure from Turkey in the north. Today, Iran announced that it and China are planning to build power plants inside Iraq. And Iran has even gone a step further and said they're going to build one for free. And it begs the question, a nuclear power plant? Maybe, you know, they'll build one there since we're going to try to stop them from doing it inside their own country. And with Russia, Putin went to Tehran this week, met with Ahmadinejad and with the Grand Ayatollah Khomeini. And there's some secret deal that they have worked out that has not yet been revealed to the West. But these alliances, the other thing that Putin arranged with Ahmadinejad is that the Caspian nations, which is Russia and the Stans, Kazakh, Tajik, and
The Stans is good.
Yeah. That they have taken a pledge not to participate or support any military assault against Iran. And so Bush is being boxed in many different ways, and I don't see easy exits.
Well, when you make enough enemies, then eventually the enemies will unite together. I mean, this is like a second year student in international relations. It's much like Secretary Rice going over and criticizing Putin for this lack of democracy. The judiciary is under attack. The media is under attack. When she very rightly could just substitute America for Russian. She goes over and lectures the Russians on anti-democracy measures they're taking, and then she wants to make a deal with him. That's not normally the way it works. First, you go over and you have to kiss a little butt and get on some sort of equal plane with the person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's we can't make enemies in the international stage fast enough.
Well, and our promotion of the mythical missile defense system that we essentially want to install, as we say it's to protect Europe from Iran, but, it really appears to protect Europe from Russia. And Putin is on to it, and that's one of the reasons in Moscow last week when Gates and Rice showed up, he made them cool their heels for 40 minutes and then lectured them in front of the television cameras.
So that's a classic. When somebody's when a diplomat and a nation's angry at another nation, keeping the diplomats waiting, that's on purpose. That sends a very strong message. I mean, they don't normally keep them waiting 1 minute.
Right.
45 minutes, cooling their heels. Besides, Peter, let me ask you a question. If you were a prime minister of some Central European country,
mm-hmm.
and they wanted to put a missile defense system in there that's been being devised, developed, and monitored by the United States Air Force, who can't even control their own nuclear weapons.
Nuclear?
Their own atomic weapons. Nuclear, their own atomic weapons.
Yes.
Would you want them playing around with an anti-nuclear weapons shield in your backyard? I don't think so. Our Air Force has just made themselves the laughingstock.
Yeah. Let's take one more call. Joe in Brookings, Oregon. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Major Scott Dick.
If that's what it takes is a statement against the Armenian, the genocide against the Armenians, I say good. I say to hell with that fascist government in Turkey anyway, that we go ahead and excuse everything they do because they are anti-communist. We can use that as an excuse to get out of Iraq. I'm all for it. Nancy Pelosi should have stuck with it. She should have pushed it all the way.
Well, Joe, I think that's a one-sided view that favors idealism and is not terribly grounded in real politic. And I don't agree with everything that Scott said, but I do understand the position he took. And I also think that the timing of this is highly problematic.
Well, let me comment on the timing of it. Okay, first of all, the idea of splitting the country into three different parts is terrible anyway if one of those so-called countries is going to be Kurdistan. Turkey invading that part of Iraq, it would just be a matter of time anyway. So all Turkey's doing here is using this as an excuse for something that they were always going to do anyway.
All right, Joe, the clock is running. I'm giving you the last word. Thank you for your call today. Scott, thanks for your contribution. We'll talk again next week.
Okay, Peter.
All right, Scott Dick. Appreciate his work. Coming up next, we'll get a report from Washington from Ron Pollack of Families USA, proponents of the expansion of S-CHIP coverage to more American children. The veto override didn't work today. We'll talk with Ron about that and open up the free speech zone coming up next on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you own a classic car, or you've been looking for a special classic, Newport Classic Motors offers complete services for all classic, exotic, and custom vehicles. Dennis Jones and the expert team at Newport Classic Motors, your one-stop classic car headquarters. They offer guaranteed services, from a taillight lens to a frame-up restoration, sandblasting, chroming, even airbrushing, pinstriping, and custom painting for cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, and even golf carts. Get 20% off any custom paint job booked in October. Newport Classic Motors, located in Southern California near Disneyland. They can arrange quick, reasonable transport from anywhere in the U.S. They'll also buy or sell your classic vehicle fast. Call Dennis today at 714-333-6822. That's 714-333-6822. Newport Classic Motors.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. At least 126 people are dead in Karachi, Pakistan, after an attempt on the life of former Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto, who just returned today after years in exile. The story from CBS News correspondent Sheila McVicker in London.
She had courted death all day. Against the advice of the security services, Benazir Bhutto insisted on making a crawling journey from Karachi's airport to let the political faithful see her. But joyful streets were transformed into a flaming hell of burning vehicles and bodies. Dozens struggling with terrible injuries, others simply dead from the blast. At least two explosions close to Bhutto's vehicle tore through the crowds, scything down everyone in the packed streets nearby. At least one is believed to have been a suicide bomber. Senior Pakistani security officials say the attack is likely the work of Al-Qaeda.
So far, no claim of responsibility. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi urged members to override President Bush's veto of the children's health care bill.
The president is isolated in this. Don't join him in his isolation.
But the vote was 13 short of two-thirds, so White House spokeswoman Dana Perino says it's time to talk.
Now we can have a conversation about getting to a common ground that fits what the president has said he wants to do, which is take care of poor children first.
More from CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss.
Temporary funding for the Children's Health Insurance Program lasts another month or so, during which there will be tough political fighting on what to do next. Democrats say they'll negotiate but won't back down on expanding the program to 10 million children. And House Speaker Nancy Pelosi flatly rules out Republican proposals to give low-income parents tax credits instead of health insurance.
The price of crude oil keeps rising. In aftermarket electronic trading, it briefly topped $90 a barrel today.
It will have an impact on consumers. We will see a 20-cent a gallon increase in the price of gasoline almost immediately.
Energy analyst Peter Butel says home heating oil is already a third higher than it was a year ago. Comedian Joey Bishop, last surviving member of the Las Vegas Rat Pack, has died at 89. Ed McMahon remembers those Rat Pack days.
That was the big league. Frank Sinatra, Sammy Davis Jr., Dean Martin, Peter Lawford,
and to hold your own in that crowd, it was pretty good. But Bishop kind of summed up everything with one of those clever, biting one-liners, and he would handle it.
Sinatra said Bishop was the hub of the big wheel. The legendary actress Deborah Carr is dead at 86. Her half-century in movies included a starring role in The King and I.
Your Majesty, I beg of you, don't take revenge on this girl. This girl hurt your vanity, that is all. She didn't hurt your heart. You have no heart.
That was Deborah Carr rolling in the surf with Burt Lancaster in the famous love scene in From Here to Eternity. The Dow down 3 points. This is CBS News.
Buying a used car can be a roller coaster ride. Are you getting the car you think you're getting, or are you just being taken for a ride? Listen closely. Honda certified used cars. They're well-maintained late-model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by one of the best warranties in the business. And now you can get low APR financing on all Odyssey, Pilot, and S2000 certified used Honda models. Honda certified used cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Die Hard presents Under the Hood with Positive and Negative.
Hey, Negative, you see what Bob just installed in the back seat for the kids?
Muzzles, I hope.
No, DVD monitors. Isn't that cool?
Great. First the GPS, now DVD players and monitors. It's a lot of juice for us to pump out.
What, can't handle it?
Look, if Bob wants to install a chandelier for a dome light, I can handle it.
For reliable starting power when you need it most, choose Die Hard Automotive Batteries. Get yours installed at Sears Auto Centers. For locations near you, visit Sears.com.
Many people displaced by Hurricane Katrina might still be living in toxic trailers, but as WWL Radio's Dave Cohen reports, there has been little follow-up by FEMA.
Months after congressional hearings and FEMA decided they'd better test travel trailers amid fears of high levels of formaldehyde causing health problems, none of the 56,000 occupied trailers have been tested. We asked FEMA why. They referred us to the Centers for Disease Control.
We are going into the field. We're hoping to be the end of October, the beginning of November.
CDC's Charles Green.
Good science takes time. We had to develop the protocol, and then we had to contract contractors to do the job.
He says they should have results by the end of the year. Dave Cohen for CBS News, New Orleans.
A thief in Germany apparently failed to grasp the concept of quick getaway. Caught shoplifting a package of cheese from a supermarket, police say he broke free and ran outside to his waiting cement mixing truck. He was arrested at a red light a few hundred yards away. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. I'm here at the International Airport where my incredibly light, amazingly powerful Orrick XL is the vacuum of choice. In fact, my Orrick XL is the choice of cleaning professionals in thousands of hotels, offices, and schools around the world. To try it in your own home risk-free for 30 days, call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200, and I'll get it to you faster than you can find your luggage.
When you were a kid, wishing upon a star was a cute idea. But unless I'm completely in the dark here, you're not a kid anymore. Though you still got dreams, don't you? You got a plan to get them up and running, or are you just keeping your fingers crossed? Maybe it's time for a wake-up call.
Dream Plan Track from Ameriprise Financial. Financial planning redefined. Visit us at Ameriprise.com/dream.
Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
In Peter B.'s America, every child of a working family would have health insurance. We're heading into the free speed zone. Your calls and comments are welcome. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. Lots to talk about. We discussed the hearings of confirming Judge Mukasey to the next attorney general job. He's going to sail right through. We talked about the NSA wrangling in Washington, the Israel lobby, and military issues. So if one of those topics tickles your fancy or irritates, you know, sticks in your craw, give me a call. We'll talk about it. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. And one more thing you might want to talk about. is today's vote in the House of Representatives, which came up 13 votes shy of overriding the presidential veto of the package expanding the state Children's Health Insurance Program, S-CHIP. And I fully support the package that was held up by this setback today. There were 156 members of the House who voted against this. Ron Pollack returns to our program. He's talked with us about S-CHIP many times over the last several months. He's the founding executive director of Families USA, their website familiesusa.org. And their goal is to achieve high-quality, affordable health coverage for everyone. And this effort on S-CHIP as a starting point to do just that. Ron Pollack, thanks for joining us.
Well, I'm very happy to be with you again.
Well, I wish it were under happier circumstances, because I actually, and I'm not real optimistic these days about what's going on in Washington from my progressive point of view, but I was hopeful that the Democratic leadership was going to find the 24 votes or so that they needed to close the gap. They picked up, what, 8 or 9, including converting some tobacco state Democrats who are opposed to the funding mechanism for the bill. But you came up short just one more time here. That's got to be hard to take, Ron.
Well, I think we lost a battle today, but I believe we're going to win the war. And the reason I say that is that even before the vote was taking place, there were a number of Republicans who were signaling they would feel very uncomfortable having to take this vote over and over again, as Speaker Nancy Pelosi had said she would do if this vote fails. And a number of Republicans today went over to the Speaker and said, we want to try to work this thing out, and we want to work it out in such a way that we can expand coverage to children like this bill that lost today. We hope we can make some minor modifications. So there will be intense negotiations going forward in the next bunch of days. I don't know whether these negotiations will ultimately involve the White House. They have not been ingenuous in their critique of this legislation, and but I think there are a number of Republicans, especially from districts where their margin of victory was relatively slim, who want to get this vote behind them and not have to take it over and over again, particularly as we're moving closer to November 2008.
Now, the president at his Wednesday news conference made a number of remarkable statements. One was that the White House was not dialed in. That was the phrase he used. Not dialed in, even by the Republicans on the Hill, regarding this S-CHIP legislation. I find that far-fetched, Ron.
Well, it's more than far-fetched, really, Peter. It's just an absolute falsehood. If you listen to what Orrin Hatch, conservative senator from Utah, said, what Chuck Grassley, conservative senator from Iowa, said, what Pat Roberts, conservative senator from Kansas, said. They actually invited the White House to participate in the negotiations in the crafting of the bill, and the president turned them down. And what was even more amazing is that before they actually crafted the compromise, the president went public and said he was going to veto the bill. So when you hear friends of the president from his own political party who were in the room and developed the compromise, who are absolutely incredulous at the misrepresentations the president has made about the bill and his refusal to participate in any kind of meaningful negotiation, he just refused to sit down with them. What he said on Wednesday really doesn't have any ring of credibility.
Mm-hmm. One of the other comments he made describing his opposition to the bill in its current form is that families with incomes of up to $80,000 might qualify for this coverage. Now, for a guy who's given repeated tax cuts to the very wealthy people in this country, to try to claim that $80,000 is a boatload of money in 2007, it just shows how out of touch he is. And, Ron, to underscore the point, I heard the president say that, and then when the news conference was over, I ran out to get my morning newspaper, the San Francisco Chronicle, and the front page story was about the escalating cost of living for middle-class working families in the San Francisco Bay Area. and it showed in very clear terms that just to get by, a family of four needs to be earning at least $77,000 a year in this part of the country. And so the president is skewing those statistics because the formula, as I understand it, in the S-CHIP law currently and even in the expanded bill before us, is based on percentages of the poverty level. And the poverty level varies by state according to the actual cost of living. And so to pull out a selective stat that reflects the highest cost of living in the country and that might, you know, make an impact and seem like that's a lot of money if you live in Indianapolis or some other place where an average home is, say, $100,000 to $200,000 instead of half a million like it is here in California, it might ring true even though it's not accurate.
Well, Peter, I'd say two things about it. First, the average cost of family health coverage today is now more than $12,000. Now, that doesn't include deductibles or copayments or what you have to pay out of pocket that's not included in your insurance policy. So it's increasingly difficult for working families to pay for insurance. But the second thing that's most important to remember is that the president's comments about $83,000 are just dead wrong. As Senators Hatch, Grassley, and Roberts would tell the president if he chose to sit down with them, is that this legislation did not do anything like that. This legislation continues the 10-year policy that allows the states to establish eligibility standards, not having a one-size-fits-all cookie-cutter proposal that's determined by the federal government. And literally, there isn't a single state in the country right now that is at $83,000. The overwhelming majority of them are at about $40,000.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take a look at all of the analyses that have been made by the Congressional Budget Office, the overwhelming majority of kids who would participate in the program are in families with incomes well below $40,000.
Now, Ron Pollack, one other thing that stuck with me is that the president had a talking point that he repeated a couple of times, and that is that he really wants to insure more children under S-CHIP, only he proposes a number of 400,000. The bill that is did not survive the veto override today, how many additional children would have been covered under this proposal?
This legislation altogether would cover almost 4 million children who are currently uninsured, and it would continue coverage for children now in the program, of which there are a little over 6 million. So altogether, it would cover 10 million, but it would add only about 4 million. And mind you, if we could extend coverage to that approximate 4 million children, it would still leave about 5 million children in the country who are uninsured. So this was by no means a huge step. It was certainly a step in the right direction and something we strongly support, but this was not even universal coverage for kids.
Yeah. Ron, just a minute remaining here. Tell me what the strategy is at this point. What will you do next, and what should our listeners who are advocates of S-CHIP do to try to override this veto or modify the package so it'll pass?
Well, I would suggest to your listeners, go to our website. We will show you who voted for and who voted against kids. And our website is www.familiesusa.org, familiesusa.org. And then those of your listeners who are inclined to do so should flood their members, particularly in the House, and tell them, you know, we want children covered, we urge you to reconsider what you did when the bill comes up again, as it will probably, Peter, in about 2 weeks. We want these members to vote with us this time.
All right. Ron Pollack, thanks for fighting the fight, and let's continue.
We will fight the fight, and we will win.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. And again, the website is familiesusa.org. That's the founding executive director, Ron Pollack. Next to your phone calls in the free speech zone, I've got three lines open right now, so grab one, and we'll talk. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 1-888-573-8372. You can always email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com.
our radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540, KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super green nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Hello, everybody. Let's take a look at traffic on this Thursday evening. We're almost there. Friday just upon us. Hey, we want to talk about San Juan Bautista, northbound 101 at Bettabil. It is a injury crash report there. It's a solo vehicle that overturned and went down an embankment. And northbound lanes were shut down for a little while. They've been reopened. A medical helicopter just left the scene as well. And what I can tell you, the traffic is extremely heavy in both directions approaching the scene. And obviously, emergency rescue crews will remain there for some time. The helicopter just left, so that was also another big distraction. Also want to mention that northbound 17, no problems to report. Southbound looking good. And let's take a look at southbound 1, slows between Monterey and Carmel just a little bit. Eastbound 25, also reports of slow-and-go traffic from Gilroy to Hollister.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm Peter B. Lines open for you in the free speech zone, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You can pick the issue and the point of view. Give us a call. We'll talk with you. Coming up right here, 888-573-8372. As Ron Pollock told us, if you go to familiesusa.org, and then click on the, I think it's the action page. Is that what I did? Let me check. I just have to click back. Yeah, Action Center. then you'll get a list of those who voted against the S-CHIP veto override. That's called the Wall of Shame. And then those who voted for it are on the Wall of Fame. Let me take a moment here to single out the members of Congress from California who voted against this, just so you know who they are. And if you feel like it, you can call their offices and complain. Calvert, Campbell, Doolittle. Oh, good old John Doolittle. Gallagly. Going down the list here. Wally Herger, Daryl Issa. Dan Lundgren from the Sacramento area, McCarthy, I'm not sure who McCarthy is, that's a backbencher, McKeon from California, Gary Miller from, he's from the Bakersfield area, a Republican, Nunes, I don't know who that person is, Radanovich from the Inland Empire in Southern California, Dana Rohrabacher from Orange County, oh, and I skipped over in the H's, Duncan Hunter, of San Diego, also voted against it. Royce, I think that's Ed Royce of California, voted against it. And I think that completes the list of the shameful representatives from California who voted with the White House and against the interests of children on this important legislation. Take that info and get active, if you will. John in Carmel Valley, you're up first here in the Free Speech Zone today. Welcome.
Peter, do you... Do you see Rolling Stone, or do you subscribe to it?
No. When I was a rock and roll DJ, they used to send it to me for free, and I've never actually been a subscriber. I pick it up every now and then, but I haven't read it in years, frankly. The last issue I read was Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s lengthy article about the stolen election in Ohio in 2004.
Well, I got some copies. My local library has a large pile of magazines that people in the valley bring by. And, boy, I picked up 17 magazines the other day when I was in there. And I had never really looked through Rolling Stone before. And I just couldn't believe it because some of the best articles about global warming have been in there.
Oh, yeah?
And I want to mention one. In November 17th, 2005, edition, a huge article by Al Gore called Can't Miss It kind of article, The Time to Act is Now. And it is so eloquent. He and Martin Luther King just excelled in the case of King, now past tense, excelled in, Gore excel in being eloquent. And he says, this is a moral moment. It is not about any scientific debate. It is about our capacity to transcend our own limitations. And then he says in the very beginning, it is now clear that we face a deepening global climate crisis that requires us to act boldly, quickly, and wisely. Global warming is the name it was given a long time ago, but it should be understood for what it is. A planetary emergency that now threatens human civilization on multiple fronts. Stronger hurricanes and typhoons represent one of the many dangers as we begin what someone has called a nature hike through the Book of Revelation. I love that.
Wow.
Description. It was worth getting just for that one phrase.
A nature hike through Revelation.
Yeah, isn't that a great title for it? That's the best description I've yet come across. I urge listeners, if you have access to the last 2 years, at least, of this magazine, go through the issues. There are plenty of others. This one has several others, this one issue about global warming.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the magazine. I've looked, you know, it isn't anything I would take.
Yeah, what rock star who's forgettable is on the cover of that issue from 2005?
Well, there's a bunch of other stuff, but it's like Vanity Fair.
Yeah.
I hate Vanity Fair. That, to me, is the trashiest magazine practically in existence if you look at the ads.
Well, they usually have one article each month that's legitimate and lengthy and well-sourced and written by a respectable journalist, and then they have all that Hollywood trash.
I know, but there's sometimes many more. I think I would give them credit sometimes for many more than one article. It's just that your brain says, what's this doing in here?
Well, and you come away with perfume samples that have a half-life of about 50 years, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. But anyway, I had to make the point because I want to give credit where credit is due.
So all right, now let me switch up on you. We only got 45 seconds. What do we do to get Al Gore to run for president?
I would say, don't, Al, if you have any sense at all, keep your health and your sanity. keep harping on global warming. That's probably what we really need.
Well, but
nobody should have to be president unless they're crazy or just too ambitious to know the difference.
Well, in many ways, his lack of interest is what commends him to the position right now. We have too many ambitious people in both parties, cruising for this nomination. And I think that their ambition blinds them. And I'm talking about Giuliani and Clinton. They both present that in a way that really turns me off. Thank you, John. Appreciate you picking up those used Rolling Stones. We're going to take a break and return for more of your phone calls. It's the Free Speech Zone. Call me toll-free, 888-573-8372. That's 1-888-5-PETER-B. Brian Urban is taking your phone calls today. Be nice to him.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Joseph's Upholstery of Monterey will satisfy all of your upholstery needs, whether for your home or business. Joe Vitale finishes headboards, chairs, sofas, and pillows. Joe imports the finest selected fabrics from Italy, Germany, France, and other European countries to add a distinctive touch to your home or office. Joseph's Upholstery is conveniently located at 222 Ramona Avenue in Monterey. They're open Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and on Saturday, 9 to 1. Call Joe at 831-372-3224. Remember, at Joseph's Upholstery, there's one low price for all. And free delivery and pickup is available throughout Monterey and Santa Cruz counties. Call Joe Vitale now at Joseph's Upholstery, 372-3224.
On August 28, Todd Endress was almost eaten alive by an 18-foot great white while surfing on Monterey Bay. A pod of 15 dolphins formed a wall between Todd and the shark, otherwise he would have died. ISARF, the International Shark Attack Research Fund, is a nonprofit foundation spearheaded by Todd to find ways to keep surfers, swimmers, and divers safe in our oceans without harming the shark. If you'd like to help, please go to ISARF.org to make your tax-deductible donation. That's ISARF.org.
We were looking for an inclusive community, so we joined a Unitarian Universalist church where we can really live our values.
Did you know the American Red Cross, the League of Women Voters, the ACLU, and the SPCA were all founded by Unitarians or Universalists?
Imagine a denomination that walks its talk. When Martin Luther King Jr. appealed to clergy to join protesters at Selma, Alabama, more than one-third of the Unitarian Universalist parish ministers answered his call.
And Unitarian Universalists are still fighting for justice today. We're speaking up everywhere for marriage equality, for reproductive rights, for the environment, and for our civil liberties.
A denomination with progressive values makes a difference in today's world. Unitarian Universalists. Come visit our church on the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website, uucmp.org, or call 624-7404.
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, meet Jim Ross, president of National Real Estate Academy. He'll be talking about the company's wealth-building meetings that'll be happening in Santa Clara, Millbrae, and Emeryville. If you'd like to learn how you can get started in building wealth in real estate, listen this Sunday to Rock Roller Real Estate, your number one source for all your real estate needs. Call 916-941-0077 for more information. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Continue rolling you home on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 33 minutes after the hour. I've got lines available if you'd like to avail yourself of free speech rights. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 1-888-573-8372. I'm going to say that again more slowly because some people say, you say that number so fast. It's 1-888-573-8372. You can always email me, humblehost@peterbcollins.com.
Ready, steady, go!
And up next, it's Theodora in Santa Cruz. Welcome. You're on the air, Theodora.
Hi, Peter.
Howdy.
I was out and about during most of your show, so I just caught snippets here.
That's how it works often. I understand the way people use radio.
Snippets, but I was disturbed by your, I forget what his name was, but the gentleman you were talking about, the B-52 nuclear...
right, that's
missile.
Scott Dick.
Scott Dick.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very disappointed, I'm not sure if it's the right word, felt like immediate distrust for this young man because I felt like he was there as an apologist, and I don't for a minute agree that this could have accidentally happened.
Well, let me just say that you're welcome to disagree with me and with anybody who appears on the program, but I don't think it's fair to call Scott an apologist. He's very critical of the military when he sees it that way. And he's got more experience than I do in terms of how these things work, what the protocols are. And so I respect his point of view. And, again, even if you disagree, please don't consider him an apologist because
apologist unaccepted.
Okay.
And I think I read some of the same things you read from people who were in the military at high places that we're saying, no, this could not happen without some kind of authorization, that it just isn't, and we're naive if we think they could make a mistake like this. I mean, they would like us to think we made a mistake like this.
Mm-hmm.
But, we're naive to think that these are highly organized people. And
Scott did say that, the nuclear weapons, and I tweaked him for his military pronunciation, but he said that nuclear weapons are kept, very deep, deep, deep in the bunkers. And there are all kinds of security protocols, obviously, just to keep somebody like me from wandering in there. But indeed, to get a nuclear-tipped cruise missile out of a warehouse takes more than just a guy who is driving around on a forklift and saying, why don't we add that to the flight to Barksdale?
Exactly, and I'm glad you held a harder line on that, and I just wanted to...
Well, I remain suspicious, and
good.
I believe that
they owe us... And can you get someone else on who might have even more insight into this, because, again, at the very least, I was not satisfied with...
Right. Well, feel free, if in your surfing you find what you believe to be a credible source, email me, because one of the things, you know, we try really hard to bring different voices onto this program, and in the same breath, we try really hard to make sure that they are responsible and credible.
Truly.
And there's a lot of information on the Internet which is just speculation. And just because somebody has a blog or somebody posts at a blog doesn't make that information correct. And there's a real important task we all have in vetting what we read, particularly on the web, because so much can show up there that simply isn't true, and it's based on the ruminations of some guy in his bathrobe with several beer cans in front of him.
Well, this is the first time I ever had that reaction to one of your guests, I'll be honest with you, because
uh-huh.
I know you do vet them, and they each have a voice and something to share, and I look forward, you know, to most of them when they
mm-hmm.
come on. But it just, because this whole issue of what happened to me is one of the most censored stories of the year,
mm-hmm.
That when I heard him speaking about it and laughing so much, and, you know, I had to giggle to myself, it was, to my mind, it just, red flags came up, and again, I'm glad you know, kept throwing some harder questions at him,
mm-hmm.
and I think we spend, you know, too much time as people wanting to change things, making fun of these people, and, oh, they're incompetent. They know what they're doing. They might put the incompetent ones out front for us to try and fool us, but believe me, they're a well-oiled machine.
Well, and Theodora, your skepticism is very well placed, because let's just take, for example, the events of September 11th of 2001 and the response to the way we got totally skunked. All right, the NORAD system failed. We know that there were war games going on that day. And when you go back to the tapes that we have been permitted to hear, the communications, say, between the FAA and NORAD, one of the things that was consistent in those different conversations was, is this a real world event, or
right.
is this a war game?
Right.
And so, you know, irrespective of one's position on the official 9/11 story and the whitewash of what I believe was the whitewash of the 9/11 commission, we all can acknowledge that there were massive failures of our very expensive and vaunted air defense systems on 9/11, and absolutely no one has been held accountable for that.
You know, let alone trying to fix it.
Well, we don't know.
There
may have been efforts to fix it, but we have no indication of substantial.
Well, maybe we should send a golfer up into the air and see, and have his plane get lost.
Ooh.
Again. Maybe that's what.
Thank you, Theodora.
Oh, thank you.
All right. And now, well-sourced as usual, we turn to the reporter R.J. Shulman, who reports for the Post-Times Sun-Dispatch. And he's available on the web at p-t-s-d.blogspot.com. R.J. Shulman, how are you today?
Great. Thank you for having me on the show, Peter.
Oh, I'm getting a little breakup on your line. Keep talking there.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to say that it's great to be on your show again.
Okay. Well, hold on just a second. I'm going to switch you to another device here, because it almost sounds like the NSA is scrambling RJ's transmission there. And let me see if I can. I've got a high-tech de-scrambler here. It's unauthorized. Got it from a Silicon Valley laboratory. RJ?
Yes. Is this any better?
That is a little better, but it sounds like at the point of origination we're getting some breakup. Are you using a Chinese-manufactured cordless phone?
Yeah, the one with the lead paint.
Oh, it's got lead paint. I'll tell you what, we're going to hang up and call you back, because, and maybe we'll try your cell phone, because the line we're on is just not working. Brian, I'll clear the line if you can get through to RJ. And at the risk of stealing his thunder, I'll just share with you the lead story on his website today. It regards the federal shield law for journalists. We've been talking about that. And this week it passed the House of Representatives by a veto-proof margin. I think only 21 votes against it. But R.J. Shulman, as usual, digs deeper. And here is his story. Reporters misreported reason for Bush's veto of reporter shield law. And Dateline Washington, D.C., the Post-Times Sun-Dispatch has learned the real reason why President George W. Bush is planning to veto the bill overwhelmingly passed by the House of Representatives that would shield reporters from having to reveal their sources to government requests. And this is one of the things, I think we have RJ back now. RJ, we got you?
Yeah, is this any better?
That is better. Thank you. Yes.
Okay, yeah, sometimes, you know, the phone does not work down here very well in the bunker.
Yeah, well, I can understand that. And, you know, with the NSA reinvigorated and the phone companies immunized, who knows how many people are on the party line, which, of course, you know, draws down the level of the signal that you can send. Anyway, I was dipping into your lead story here at Post-Times Sun-Dispatch about the threat of a presidential veto of the reporter shield law. And, of course, he still has not come clean about the whole Scooter Libby conviction and the White House smear campaign about Valerie Plame Wilson, whose new book is due out Monday, by the way. I can't wait. And once again, R.J. Shulman, you failed to scrub the president's quotes. And we get the verbatim, as embarrassing as it is to the phony Texan. Quote, it is not to protecticate national security, as some say. As me and Dick Cheney already know who the sources are before even the reporters do, thanks to some tapitations of the wires and dropping of the eaves that we do to listen in to terrorist American killers. Oh, wow. What a quote.
Yeah, it's amazing how these get scrubbed by the bought and paid for mass media. But we here at PTSD want to make sure you hear exactly what the president has said.
And you go on to quote him, the real reason I am going to ink my veto pen is that they're just reporters. While I am the decider, and while the decider can report, the reporters can't decide, and I can show that I'm a relevant decider by using the veto. Now, the American people must understand that the veto is vote spelled sideways. The Republicans are going to need all the votes they can swing their way in the next election. Wow.
Yeah, that's. I think that was a great quote, and everyone has missed that. There is an update to this story, and that's that he was willing to make a compromise if the bill would report. If this bill would protect unborn reporters.
Oh.
You might be okay with it.
Okay. Next item here at PTSD is Laura Bush to release new book, It Takes a Pillage. A pillage? Is that like a cheap shot at Hillary?
Well, it's based on Hillary's book was so successful and it became part of the vernacular that she wanted to kind of one-upmanship Hillary, and her book, It Takes a Pillage, is all about how George wanted to help his friends out, but the world is so complicated that he had to kind of get everybody in government and everywhere else to take the money from the taxpayer and give it to his friends in the forms of, you know, tax breaks and non-bid contracts.
Oh, you mean like Eric Prince and Blackwater USA?
Exactly.
One example. And now you have this quote of Bush W. from Laura's book, and once again, it's one of these astounding verbatims. You quote him saying, I couldn't have done it without the help of all them friends I was able to stick up in high places in the government, but most of the help come from my friends in the media who were more looking at Anna Rocola Smith and Rome Hilton, I think her name was, maybe London Hilton, instead of how much moolah was being slipped to my friends. Not that I have billions to hide or anything.
Yeah, that's, I'm expecting this to be picked up by and be heard on the news. Certainly Keith Olbermann might get this one right. But, again, I do appreciate you bringing these stories to your listeners.
Well, it's important because we're trying to close the gaps of what's missing in the corporate media. Got time for one more, RJ, and that is this ceremony that Bush attended on Capitol Hill on Wednesday. And this is interesting because, of course, he told the Congress, don't send me that bill about Armenian genocide because it's going to make the Turks mad. But he went ahead and made the Chinese mad by giving a special medal to the Dalai Lama.
Yeah, he did give that special medal, but he wasn't really planning to do that. He really thought it was going to be Dolly Parton.
Oh.
And so he had the medal, you know, all set to give to her.
And he showed up in a cowboy outfit?
Yeah, he shows up in a cowboy outfit. He wants to surprise her, so he's standing with his back facing her, and he starts asking her about how, what does it feel like to work from 9 to 5? Of course, we know that Bush doesn't do that, so many vacations. And then he swings around and starts singing Jolene, and and eventually saw that it was not Dolly Parton.
Wow. I guess he's not very well prepared by his staff for some of these photo op events.
Well, I think his staff sometimes afraid to try to get him prepared because he just doesn't listen to them anyway, and they don't want to be blamed for it.
Yeah.
So they don't prepare him at all, so they can't be blamed for preparing him incorrectly.
Well, RJ, thanks for sharing your intrepid work with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
RJ Shulman, visit the website. You don't need any W's in front of it. Just log on to P-T-S-D. That stands for Post Time Sun Dispatch. P-T-S-D.blogspot.com and read it for yourself. Read them and weep. All right, back to your phone calls after a quick break. Join me toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. I've got a line available for you right now, 888-573-8372. And you can talk about anything except that $100 fine for smoking in your car with kids, okay? We've worked that one over pretty well. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Be sure to try the chow fun noodles with broccoli and hot and sour soup. Jim's Restaurant is now celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Join the party. Buy lunch or dinner for four at Jim's Restaurant in Seaside and get a free order of tempura vegetables. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. That's 394-5117. Jim's is top for takeout and great for catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside, 394-5117.
Do you remember UFOs over Monterey Bay? Was it all just a dream? Visit those memories with us this Saturday morning at 11 a.m. on 540 KRXA. Hear eyewitnesses. Take back our power. Get truth and knowledge. Step up to the plate. Take your best shot this Saturday at 11 a.m. Tell us your UFO experiences. Being abducted? Strange things happening? Missing time? Liberate these memories this Saturday. Be bold. Fill in the pieces of one of the strangest puzzles of our time. Together, your chance to blow this phenomenon out of the water with strange encounters of the second time, UFOs over Monterey Bay, second edition. New speakers, new stories, new answers. Your host for UFOs over Monterey Bay, Bob Oliver, 11 a.m. this Saturday on your Progressive Radio Channel 540 KRXA.
How many times have you bumped up against the belief that in fact harms you, hurts you, and really acts like a disease? How often is belief a barrier to well-being and happiness? Healing Beyond Limits Radio, heard Sundays from 9 to 10 a.m., cuts through the busyness of life and gets to the heart of what you can do to throw away limitations and live the life you want. Join the unlikely oncologist, Dr. Debbie Lindquist, and world-renowned life coach, journalist, Glenn Brooks, and discover how you can dissolve ideas and actions that hold you back. Heard on the Vibrant Living Radio Network, right here on KRXA 540 AM.
Hey, everybody, let's take a look at our last traffic report of the evening. Always an important one, and let's talk a little bit about what's going on. Sorry, let's see, they have a little bit of an improvement, let's see, in the San Juan Bautista area, north on 101, Bettaville injury crash, solo vehicle overturned. The vehicle went down the embankment, and what I can tell you, northbound lanes have been reopened for a little while now. Got a medical helicopter left the scene, they're gone, and traffic heavy on both sides approaching the area there. Also want to take a look at a problem on, let's go to Santa Clara, South 101 between Great American Parkway and 87, very slow traffic due to an earlier problem. Northbound and southbound 17 looking good at this point. Also want to mention Monterey and some slow traffic earlier on southbound 1 between Monterey and Carmel. Eastbound 25 was slow and go from Gilroy to Hollister. This report brought to you by Alaska Airlines. Trade.
We're in the home stretch here on the Peter B. Collins Show. My toll-free number is 888-573-8372, 888-5-PETER-B. My personal email is peter@peterbcollins.com. And we like to break the rules here in radio once in a while. Not the ones that'll get us a $350,000 fine from the Federal Communications Commission, but the one that says that you can't show a video on the radio. There is a great Flash cartoonist, a guy who does these web-based animated political cartoons, Mark Fiore. His last name is F-I-O-R-E, and he's at markfiore.com. And I just got his latest today, and I'm going to play at least part of it for you here, because he has come upon a new drug that we need to make sure that Democratic members of Congress and the Senate receive, particularly as they buckle with the new Attorney General confirmation. They're buckling under the NSA bill. At least part of the Senate has made a deal repudiated by others with the White House to immunize the phone companies. And the list goes on and on. It's certainly discouraging for many progressives, and I, for one, understand that quite well. So Mark Fiore has a new animated cartoon, and let's listen to the audio track here and see if it works for you. It's about a new drug called Spinocrat.
From the makers of Demoglad comes Spinocrat, a spinal growth supplement for Democrats. Because your body's courage and conviction is often not produced naturally, Spinocrat keeps you standing tall by releasing your natural inclinations.
Spinocrat helped me win an Emmy, an Oscar, and the Nobel Peace Prize all in 1 year. Thank you, Spinocrat.
Just imagine what Spinocrat could do for you if taken while still in office. If you're finding it difficult to stand up for your beliefs in the morning or are experiencing recurring legislative impotence, Spinocrat is right for you. If spinal weakening is preventing you from achieving your goals and time is passing you by, it's time to talk to your doctor about Spinocrat. If you suffer from insomnia and a fear of terror flaccidity is affecting your performance, you need Spinocrat. If you find yourself spending ever more money on useless prescriptions for a chronic condition that is not responding to treatment, make the switch to Spinocrat today. Spinocrat, a spinal growth supplement for Democrats.
Beautiful.
Spinocrat may not be right for everyone and is intended for Democrats experiencing timidity, low self-esteem, and lack of conviction. In some clinical trials, right-wing Bush supporters have experienced vomiting, shortness of breath, and anal leakage. Your doctor needs to prescribe Spinocrat, which must never be taken recreationally by left-wing pundits or bloggers. Consult your doctor and conscience to see if Spinocrat is right for you.
And Spinocrat is not covered by most prescription drug plans, including Medicare Part D. You can hear that and see it for yourself. The visuals will add to it, but the audio stands pretty well on its own. Go to markfiore.com. F-I-O-R-E is how you spell Fiore. Jake's on the line from Eureka. Hello, Jake.
Hey, PRB. How's it going?
Pretty good.
You know, I think those Washington Democrats can use several hundred doses of this Spinocrat medicine. You know, it's just amazing to me that on these bills, like, for instance, giving the phone companies a pass legally on facilitating illegal spying on the American public. I mean, how
now, wait a minute, Jake. This is corporate amnesty. And, of course, we're against amnesty for immigrants and anybody else. But, hey, for a corporation, for a crony of the Bush administration, for people who played ball in violating the FISA law, how could amnesty be, be rejected for them?
Oh, especially when you follow the money. Just look at these phone companies and where they're giving money. Not only are they giving money to Republicans, of course, these Democrats are on the take, too. Like Congressman Mike Thompson is taking money from AT&T. No wonder he wants to let these companies off the hook. These companies have privacy guarantees to their customers. For instance, Verizon just infamously, you know, went ahead and violated their own privacy policies. And basically every person who's a customer of, like, AT&T, Verizon, you name it, there should be a class action lawsuit right now to sue these people for billions for the illegal spying they've been doing on the American public.
Now, Jake, to be fair, the House version of the NSA repair bill, the FISA, it's called Restore Act, is attempting to block the Bush administration from getting this amnesty provision for the phone companies. They recognize that this is a way, a final way, of killing the lawsuits that we've talked about on this program that challenged the NSA surveillance program. And if the Democrats do cave on this ultimately, as Jay Rockefeller in the Senate is prepared to do, this will do the kind of harm not only to the nation, but specifically to the Democratic Party that could seriously impair their chances for maintaining the little control they have of the House, the occasional control they have of the Senate, and the dream of controlling the White House starting in January 2009.
You're absolutely right, Peter B. And the simple fact of American politics is nobody respects a coward. And when these Democrats put off the appearance of being cowards, or in some case, you know, some cases, they actually are acting like political cowards, then why do they expect anybody to vote for them, really?
Well, because they rest comfortably knowing that historically 96% of incumbents hold on to their seats.
Yeah, and what kind of democracy is this? I mean, really, Peter B., when you are right, it's almost impossible for incumbents to get beaten because they take all the money from companies like AT&T and Lockheed Martin. That's why Mike Thompson's been in Congress for 10 years. But the thing is, if we want a democracy, we have to start voting these incumbents out. And that includes some of these conservative blue dog Democrats who might as well call themselves Bush dogs.
Well, Jake, just yesterday, you remember Matt Renner was my producer when we started this program.
Of course, Matt.
He's now at truthout.org doing a lot of great reporting. And he has connected me with a woman who is running a website, a listserv, supporting progressive challengers in Democratic primaries next year. And so in the near future, we're going to start inviting some of these progressive challengers on the program so that you can hear what they have to say and support their efforts if you're in a position to do that. Thank you, Jake.
Happy
trails to you.
Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. It makes it worth it for me. We'll be back at you tomorrow. Same time, same great radio stations.
Happy trails to you. Keep smiling.
If you own a classic car, or you've been looking for a special classic, Newport Classic Motors offers complete services for all classic, exotic, and custom vehicles. Dennis Jones and the expert team at Newport Classic Motors, your one-stop classic car headquarters. They offer guaranteed services, from a taillight lens to a frame-up restoration, sandblasting, chroming, even airbrushing, pinstriping, and custom painting for cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, and even golf carts. Get 20% off any custom paint job booked in October. Newport Classic Motors, located in Southern California near Disneyland. They can arrange quick, reasonable transport from anywhere in the U.S. They'll also buy or sell your classic vehicle fast. Call Dennis today at 714-333-6822. That's 714-333-6822. Newport Classic Motors.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. When former Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto returned from exile today, Pakistani terrorists were waiting. As her motorcade moved slowly through the crowded streets of Karachi, two bombs went off near her vehicle. Bhutto was unhurt, but at least 126 people around her were killed, nearly 250 injured. Bhutto returned, reports CBS News correspondent Sheila McVicker, after making peace with President Pervez Musharraf.
When Bhutto arrived in Karachi after 8-year exile, she was overwhelmed.
I dreamt of this day for so many months and years.
This was also day one of her campaign to become prime minister again. Bhutto and Musharraf have been negotiating her return for months. He wants to secure a new term as president, pledging also to give up command of Pakistan's powerful army, thus restoring civilian rule.
There's been no claim of responsibility for the attack, but Al-Qaeda is considered the prime suspect. The House today failed to override President Bush's veto of the S-CHIP bill, but as CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports, the fight is far from over.
While Democrats may eventually end up with a smaller children's health insurance program, they have gained a big stick with which they hope to pummel Republicans. New York Democrat Charlie Rangel warned Republicans they'll pay the price for the president's veto.
Comes the next election, President Bush is going to be there at his ranch in Texas, and he will not be with you at the polls.
Republicans in swing districts are nervous about this issue, but those who back the president insist they don't want to deny health care to kids. They just want a program that's smaller and more tightly controlled. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
A happy ending in West Virginia's Dolly Sods Wilderness area.
We have found Jacob, and he is alive.
18-year-old Jacob Allen, who's severely autistic, got separated from his parents during a hike on Sunday. Jacob Stadelman, a spokesman for the searchers, says they were losing hope when the boy was found lying in a clearing.
It really is a miracle. I mean, we went into the fourth day. It was almost 4 days to the hour. Really is a miracle.
Jacob was tired, hungry, and thirsty, but otherwise okay. Two major celebrities of the 50s and 60s have died. Comedian Joey Bishop was 89. He was part of the Rat Pack that included Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., and Peter Lawford. Bishop starred with them in the movie Ocean's 11.
Lieutenant, I think you and the sergeant ought to feel pretty proud of yourselves. You've given us the good news. How about the bad news?